very busy. Many important matters require a king's attention.
I'm king now. King, 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 king now.
I am king.
I am
king.
I am
kiss it.
I am
kiss it again.
I am
turn.
Your fingers or your
king doesn't
fingers
discuss
your
battle plans.
He's one,
but
your fingers or your tongue.
I am
the king. I'm telling mother.
Welcome to the Joffrey podcast. My name's Bubba, and with me, as always, is, wait a minute. Not with me is Catfish. Catfish, if you're a regular listener to the Joffrey podcast, is a professional actor. Listeners, you're thinking to yourself, no one can replace Catfish. Well, no one person can, but maybe two can. And so we have two special guests this week to replace infamous brother Catfish. So who are these two men who would dare to try to replace Catfish and swear allegiance to His Grace King Joffrey? Well, folks, you know my first guest from podcast Little Fell and probably every podcast you listen to. He is Heath Snow, Heath Solo, Heath Snowlo. Heath Snowlo, how you doing?
I'm doing great. It's amazing to be here. And you know what? I'm EE right now.
Double E?
Extremely erect.
I could tell.
Whoa, the table moved. Sorry
and I
about
thought
that
was King Joffrey's scepter. All right. Also with us is a famous hanger-on. If you follow anyone on Twitter, you should be following him. It's Glenn Ewing. Glenn, how you doing?
I'm great, man. Thank you. And I am, I know it's not two letters, but I am S-O.
S-O?
Scooting over.
Okay.
Oh!
Oh, my goodness gracious. Everyone, if you're brand new to the Joffrey podcast, what we do here is we break down every episode from HBO's Game of Thrones, and George R. R. Martin's A Song of Ice and Fire saga, and we do it without spoilers. If you have any questions, please hit us up on Twitter. My Twitter handle is at Fit and Trim. That's F-I-T-T-E-N-T-R-I-M, at Fit and Trim on Twitter. And you can reach our guests, Heath, at...
at Heath Actor on the Twitter.
And you can reach Glenn at...
Glenn Ewing, G-L-E-N.
All right, so...
no double N.
No double N?
No double N.
Naughty noise. I'll guess.
All right. So, once again, why don't you guys familiarize our listeners with your history with the series, if you've read the books. Glenn, why don't you start us off? How did you get into this show, Game of Thrones?
I came into it through HBO and read the first book and enjoyed it, but it was a bit too descriptive.
Whoa.
So... after having seen the first season, so I stopped reading the books. I'll pick them up and read them after I've seen the show completely.
That sounds like a lot of listeners. And, Heath, why don't you give us your history with this great HBO show?
Well, my history, Bubba. I watched the show from the beginning. I don't know. I can't remember why. Probably because I was just watching HBO show, and I'm like, HBO, and I'm like, oh, Game of Thrones. Oh, cool. This looks cool. So I watched the show, did an emergency podcast on my Film List podcast, one of the 1,000 podcasts I do, and we after the Ned beheading, and so we had Matt from Podcast Winterfell and Axel and Donald and all them on there. Started getting into it. I decided to read the second half of Storm of Swords after the Red Wedding. Ooh. So I did that. And then I was going to read Feast for Crows and Dance with Dragons this summer. Never got around to it. But I did listen to you guys talk on Podcast Wonderful. I had no idea what you guys were talking about half the time, but I enjoyed it.
Neither did we. That was a good move, Heath. Yeah. And for the people I like to call Double L.
Double L?
Our loyal listeners, I just want to give a brief history of here, the Joffrey podcast. Everybody knows that the real reason this show exists is because I am Trone, that great person on Twitter, that's I-O-N-T-R-I-O-N-E, Iontrone, heard me on Podcast Winterfell and said, hey, you should start up the Joffrey podcast. Why was I on Podcast Winterfell? Because I downloaded and listened to it and called it into great Double M.
Double M?
Matt Murdock's great show. But how did I even find out about Double M's great podcast?
Double M?
Matt Murdock, that's right. How did I find out about his great podcast? Well, I was on iTunes, and I listened to that emergency de-netting show, and that's how I found it. So, listeners, if you want to blame someone for the Joffrey podcast, Heath Actor, at Heath Actor, is the person to blame. I blame him every night when I edit this damn podcast. So,
hey, I'm double C right now.
Double C.
Constantly constipated. Oh. Well, wait, well, is that too much? Anyway, moving on.
So, listeners, first thing we want to do is we just watched season 5, episode 8, entitled Hard Home. That's one word. And I want to go around and get everybody's ranking out of 10. Glenn, if I could get your ranking out of 10.
I'd give it a 9 out of 10. It started out slow, and it jumped at the ending. The ending was amazing.
All right. And Heath, you just saw Hard Home. What is your ranking out of 10, please?
Well, I'm giving it a 9.2 Hard Homes out of Soft Homes.
Oh, my goodness gracious. Soft Home, like soft serve, available at your local DQ. DQ, Dairy Queen. All right. So it's time for my ranking. And this is the very first time that I'm going to be able to give this a 9 quadruple W's out of 10.
Quadruple W's out of 10?
Yes, I'm going to give this 9 Wyndham Wizard White Walker Wutwo. I am saying that this was, holy smokes, did you see that? That was action, that was spectacle. I liked it before we got to the great set piece at Hard Home. And then once that started, it was like, buckle your seat belts, we're in for a bumpy ride, everybody. Really good. My favorite episode of the season. What do you guys think?
I'm still processing, but yeah, I mean, the second half of this episode blew me away. It felt like episode 9-ish.
Yeah.
It was unbelievable, and I loved, of course, we're going to talk about it, but with Tyrion and Dany talking, I've been waiting for that.
Mm-hmm.
It's probably my second favorite.
Oh,
I can't
wow.
remember my first favorite, but it's okay. soon to be my first favorite when I think of my actual first favorite.
No problem. Glenn, what about you?
I think there's been a lot of place setting.
Oh, yeah.
Going.
That's one of the things that our catfish has been complaining about.
Exactly. Too much. So,
okay.
In my opinion. But I think we got a lot of payoff in this.
Oh, yeah.
Definitely.
Heck yeah. Listeners, write us. Let us know on Twitter what you think. At the end of this episode, we're going to be going over some of your feedback from Twitter and some of your feedback from iTunes. But right now, gentlemen, if it's all right, let's jump into something I call Double H.
Double H?
Hard Home. That was a weak one. I admit it, folks.
Hey, I love it.
Audible groan if you would like, but let's jump in to this episode, and we're going to start in the Far East, in a city I like to call but don't like to visit, Marine, where Dany has called in Tyrion and Sir Friendzone, and she has some questions for them, doesn't she? What do you guys think of one of my favorite characters, Sir Friendzone? Do you think, why did he come back if this is the reception he's going to get?
You know, Sir Friendzone Jorah, which
yeah.
I love.
Oh, too. Yeah, I do too.
Double L.
Double L.
Love, love. I'm trying, folks.
That might be a single
no
L,
catfish.
But okay.
That might be a single. Well, love, lust, love.
Oh,
lust,
heck,
love.
Heck yeah.
That's what I meant to say.
Amen.
Sorry, the fireball is getting to my brain. Okay. You know, when Dany was doing her, why should I trust you? You
right.
want to be in my advice? I was like, all right, okay. But I'm kind of upset Dany exiled Jorah again. Like, Bubba, help me with this.
Well, Tyrion asked the question, and Tyrion did not put bros before hoes. He was totally selling Jorah out to the wind. He was like, well, Jorah had a chance to confess, did he? You know, Jorah should have been ixnay on the confess-nay. Guys, help a brother out. Glenn, what do you think about Dany? Are you upset that she tossed Jorah to the side?
That she doesn't know that he's infected.
Ooh,
I don't.
Good point.
I don't know that she does or not, but I think that's better for where they are.
Right.
I really think he needs to get on with it, come up with something else. I mean, I know he's completely, madly, passionately in love with her, but game over already. Come on.
So, do you think, like in our times, we check our watches?
Right.
Checking for grayscale is like checking your watch. In this?
It's like checking your watch, and every time you look at it, it's like, oh, fuck, I'm screwed.
Yeah.
You know, like you may be screwed for work. You're late for work when you look at your watch. Jorah looks at his wrist, and he thinks to himself, need some Neosporin. Don't you think? It's pretty rough. Let's get to it right now. So Daenerys, lovely Missandei. Daenerys is asking why she should even listen to Tyrion and why she shouldn't just kill him. And she says, you know, should I kill you to get revenge for what your family did to mine? And he's like, well, you know what? Hey, I killed my mom. I killed my dad. That's two dead Lannisters. Come into your castle and I'll be able to help you kill some more. Is that a good... What did you guys think of this whole interaction, this whole scene?
Well, he definitely has a penchant for killing Lannisters.
He does. He does. I mean, he might have killed his Grace King Joffrey. he's talking about, he makes a good case where he's like, you know, hey, I've heard this story about you. I heard this story about this girl who was born in a crazy storm. She was sold off to a, you know, a warrior from the East. And we thought we'd never hear from her again. The next thing we know, she's a queen. She's got followers. She's got three dragons. You know, I've heard your hype, Daenerys. You're pretty cool. Let me get on the fun train. Flattery will get you everywhere. And Tyrion is kind of flattering her, don't you think?
No, he definitely is. And the fact that I think the key here is by sending Jorah away, not doing the predictable, oh, no, we need him.
Right.
He's like, if you're going to rule Westeros, he cannot be by your side, which I was pissed at. But for Tyrion's sake, it makes sense.
And as an advisor.
Well, yeah, him being the advisor. I mean, this is what we've been talking about all season. How awesome would it be if Tyrion's advising Dany? The small council has been dwindling. She needs someone to really... I mean, she's been listening to everyone. Dario in bed and Ser Barristan, who's no longer with us. Obama Worm, who we don't know. I think he's recovering. So
he would recover very well if he saw Missandei's outfit. He'd be like, I'm ready. Let's go.
He'd be EE, you know?
Yes, he would. But how about this? He says, Tyrion, evil Uncle Tyrion, says a couple things which I think really work. Number one is he says killing and politics aren't the same. And Daenerys seems very good at killing. She's conquered many places. But at politics, and earlier in this season, she said, I'm not a politician. I'm a queen. Hello. And maybe she's found out that she needs some politics. And I thought that was pretty smart that evil Uncle Tyrion said that, right?
And not the politics of dancing. No.
The politics of dancing.
Feeling good.
Definitely. And I think the other thing that stood out when she was initially threatening Tyrion is how she stammered before she said the dragons.
Ooh. And paused. Great and catch, Glenn.
Dragons. And she paused and kind of looked away and then looked back at him and made eye contact again.
Right. If I was Daenerys, I would actually wear a button that said, I have dragons. You know, why bother saying
yeah. I mean, I was thinking vote for Pedro, but no. I have dragons would
you
be
know,
better.
You know, friggin' tell everybody, banner this friggin' marine up. Let people know, hello, I've got dragons. But then Tyrion also does a really smart thing, is that he was talking to Varys, and Varys was saying, hey, she could be the one to rule. She could be the one to lead. And Tyrion talks about, hey, you know, I want to see if you're the person who could lead a better world. And that is right in her wheelhouse.
That's also kind of what Tyrion's been looking for.
Oh, true.
In a king.
That's
is
true.
Someone, because he knows he'll never be king.
No. Well, he had a great king in Joffrey, and he blew
Yeah. And I right now on the podcast, I want to pledge my allegiance to King Joffrey, first of his name, greatest ruler ever.
Because you took a bit of time to say it, we are going to take a piece of your body, Heath, for delaying,
That's
but fine.
That's fine.
Now
I have grayscale on my... Well, anyway.
Hello.
I'm scooting over again.
Scoot.
So, Tyrion, one thing he says is that he says, when I was Hand of the King, I did quite well, and I even did it for a great king. And so, he had a great king in Joffrey, but do you believe what Tyrion's selling here, that he's saying he was a great Hand of the King. Do you guys agree or disagree?
Definitely. From what I remember, he was.
Okay, you have been drinking. Sure, Heath?
I've been drinking. I have a double-sided answer.
Ooh, let's hear it.
I wish I could come up with a double letter, but I've had too much to drink. Okay, he was a great advisor, but you remember all that shit he did bit him in the ass in the trial.
That's a good point.
So... it's kind of like he had the right intentions. It was just the wrong timing for what he did because it came back to bite him in the little wee wee.
It did. And it, you know, he was a half man. He did half measures and then he got, you know, his face slit. So I want to jump back to Sir Friendzone if it's okay.
It's okay.
Yes, it's my show.
It's your show. You can do whatever the hell you want. I'm surprised you haven't kicked us out yet.
So Tyrion he says that, hey, I've never witnessed a person more loyal to you, Daenerys. I think he'd kill for you, he'd die for you, and yet he did betray you. So Tyrion, why didn't Tyrion stick up for Jorah more? Because I said this during the episode, I kind of thought he was selling a brother out. What do you guys think?
I think it goes back to he sees in her a great leader.
Right.
And he sees a detriment to having him back in the house.
Ooh.
He's essentially...
Well, he must say a detriment because he says, when you arrive in Westeros, you can't have Sir Friendzone with you.
Yeah.
Damn.
And I think she's now starting to see him like the loyal puppy who bit.
Ooh.
Ooh. Oh. You know what I see?
What do you see?
Dead people. Okay.
You know what? Sir Jorah, he doesn't get to speak in this scene, but he is looking forlorn. I have given many a ex-girlfriend and many a Denny's waitress this look.
Oh, Denny's
you know,
waitress.
Please. Please. Okay, I messed up. I didn't want to admit to you. Didn't want to admit that I was spying to you. In my case, it's like, okay, I didn't want to admit I'm in a ditch and dine. But, or dine
double D?
A dine and ditch, right. Fuck this fireball. All right, so.
I know. I'm like, is this game of what?
What? All right, so Jorah is kicked. The second time he's kicked out a Marine, youch. And he is led out of the city. And this, Daenerys has a bit of a sad look, doesn't she?
She does.
She's crying.
Yeah.
There's no crying in Game of Thrones. No, but seriously, it's tough because she has to do it. But I think right there,
yeah.
She has feelings for, I mean, for Joffrey. I was about to say for Jorah.
Well, we all do.
Oh, got to check the watch.
But, right. So Jorah's grayscale, it's gotten a bit bigger. It's not too bad. But he's got a ticking clock that says, hey, if I'm going to get busy with Daenerys, it's got to happen soon, or I'm going to be hard. And I mean by a stone man, not hard.
Or a double T.
Double T.
Ticking time bomb.
What's the significance of him staring at that wall?
Well, he's looking back at this city he's been kicked out of twice, and he's thinking, this is my reading of it, and I'm only saying this because of the later scene. I think he's looking back at the wall and he's saying, you know what? She hasn't killed me twice, even though I did. You know, I was a spy. I sold state secrets on her, and yet she hasn't kicked me out twice. He is somebody who won't take no for an answer. This is, ladies, you gotta do more than Daenerys does when you have somebody so forlorn for you.
Do you think he's climbing the wall in the future?
Do I think he's climbing the wall back of Meereen
to get back
to her? He's gonna try, which I think that later scene reveals. Let's jump to the next Daenerys Tyrion scene, which is 22 minutes into the episode, where they're having kind of a heart-to-heart. Tyrion, she gave him some new clothes. He didn't bother to shave. Thanks a lot, Uncle Tyrion. But but as Glenn, you pointed out, he's finally getting some wine. Thank God I'm able to drink some wine again.
Oh, he needs more, though. He goes, we're going to talk more. We need more wine.
Right. He's like, if I'm going to listen to this lady, I need more wine. Am I right, fellas? Okay, so... Edit. All right, so...
No, edit, no!
So, Tyrion asks her, he's like, have you decided if I'm worthy of your service or not? Have you decided if you're gonna kill me? And Daenerys says, you know, it'd probably be the safest option to kill you, but you know what? I'm not gonna kill you. I'm gonna help you help me.
Jerry Maguire.
All right, I'm gonna help you help me take over these kingdoms. And she says one thing that shocked me a bit. She goes, I understand what my father was. And she's talking about the Mad King. Does anybody here, and listeners, you can write in and tell us too, if you heard terrible stories about your father, now admittedly Daenerys, kind of never really knew her father because he was killed, but it seems very quick that she accepted, okay, they called him the Mad King and he was a bad guy. I kind of thought that was a bit shocking. Myself, but she says she's accepted that he's the Mad King. Would you accept if somebody talked trash about your dad? I wouldn't.
I definitely wouldn't, and I think she's, as I lean away from the mic, I think she's, sorry, I think she's accepting that that's what he's called.
Okay.
And not necessarily that everything he did was wrong.
No, sure. Heath.
I concur.
Okay.
But...
insight?
Do you want to ask me? Yeah, you know, I'm here from Podcast right. Little Fell to right. just give insight.
Okay. But do you... Now, everybody has talked trash about her father, but she really hadn't heard it until a couple episodes ago
sure.
when Sir Barristan's like, you know what? He was famous for burning people alive. And so has she converted this quickly?
You know... She showed signs of her father's traits.
Oh, for sure.
But yet... By letting Tyrion live and seeing what she can get out of him,
yeah,
I think, and being a Lannister.
Oh, man.
So that was probably be something that the Mad King wouldn't do. But what I was really interested in was how they were talking about Jaime Lannister.
Oh, of course, great.
Who killed the Mad King.
Who killed his brother, killed her dad.
And who said that if I see my brother again, I'm going to split him in half again or in quarters or whatever.
Obviously, Tyrion doesn't know that because Tyrion's like, I trust my brother exclusively.
Yeah, and that's why in the back of my head, I'm like, oh, man, what their reunion, what would it be like?
It wouldn't be good. I wouldn't imagine.
Yeah. But I just got to say, this is going to help the Dany storyline, having Tyrion there. It's really going to add more punch to it.
Well, this is your first...
Even though he's evil.
No, that's the problem. This is your first time on the Joffrey podcast. What have both you guys thought of Daenerys? Daenerys, as I like to describe it, Daenerys seemingly has been trapped in a quagmire of Meereen. So what have you guys thought about the Daenerys storyline? Glenn, let's hear it.
I think it's she started out essentially as an intern and has worked her way up. Quite honestly.
I mean, no, that's a good call.
She had no idea how to rule.
Right.
For a large extent, she still doesn't get half the pie.
Ooh. What do you mean by that?
The political, the dealing with the rich, she has no concept of that.
Oh.
And I think that's where Tyrion can help her.
Okay. And so, Heath, have you enjoyed this quagmire? Have you appreciated it, even if you didn't enjoy it? What have you thought on Daenerys?
I've been on the Dany roller coaster for some time.
Oh, now. I remember, because you were big on Daenerys in that emergency podcast you had on.
Yes. And then the stuff in season two was up and down. It's going back and forth. The storyline's gotten better. But I just, I don't know. I was kind of, you know, with Dany, it's up and down. It's
right.
Really up and down for me, her storyline. But I think, as a non-book reader or a wannabe book reader,
right.
I expected her to like be at Westeros already. I didn't realize she was going to do the Slaver's Bay thing and stick around at Meereen. So,
no, that's a good point.
So the anticipation of her going across the Narrow Sea is not there yet. But no, I'm invested. But adding
Tyrion and Jorah
to me is going to help it.
All right, I just want to say I've actually in the show, and I want to be very careful about this. In the show, as a book reader myself, in the show, this is one of the few, maybe the possibly only storyline that I kind of think that most people would prefer the show to the books, in that they've streamlined a lot of it. But and I have actually enjoyed the quagmire because I feel it's real. It's kind of, this is the problems you would have if you overturned slavery in a day, as Lincoln did in our own history.
Mm-hmm.
And so Daenerys realizes that she's not the perfect ruler. She says that, hey, you know what? I don't have slaves, but I've just, reopening the fighting pits, I've allowed murder to be a form of entertainment. And so she's not perfect. Maybe she does need other people like Tyrion to help her out, because it's going to be interesting. And one of the things that I think is interesting myself is when evil Uncle Tyrion is talking about those Westeros families. He mentions only a handful of them. And so I thought it was interesting that he didn't mention some of the other families. So, for example, he mentions your family, the Targaryens, is pretty much you and nobody else.
I thought you meant my family. I'm like, my family?
Spoiler alert.
The Starks are my family.
He said,
I'm a bastard.
He said the Targaryens have been wiped out for you. The Starks have been literally wiped out. The Lannisters will never support you. The Tyrells, he's like, well, maybe. He doesn't mention the Aerons, which are currently Little Robin Aaron, which is controlled by Littlefinger.
Yes.
He doesn't mention the Greyjoys, and dear Lord, the only Greyjoy we see in this episode maybe isn't a Greyjoy, he's Reek. And he doesn't mention the Martells, who we've been experiencing this season down in Dorne, and we met Oberyn last year.
Yeah, on the set of Three Amigos. Right?
So it's kind of interesting. He also, and this is just me, and I don't want to be spoiling anything, everybody, even though I am an evil BR book reader. And that is that he mentions that Varys is somebody he really, really trusts. And as far as I know, he only spent 3 episodes this season with Varys.
Where the fuck is Varys?
It'd be hilarious if he's still in that Volantis whorehouse. Like,
yeah, going with Danny. Right, Danny
he's like, Tyrion. You know, Tyrion's so small, he might be looking, is he here? No, is he here? No, you know, he could spend, you know, as we've seen.
Worst baby.
4 episodes looking around this whorehouse looking for evil Uncle Tyrion. What do you think, Clark?
He's the guy in the cab at the end of Airplane.
Well, the shit ain't gonna hit
5 more minutes.
Now listen, the red zone is for loading only. All right, so okay. Daenerys cuts off evil Uncle Tyrion from drinking. That was a fun moment. Didn't you like this? You know,
yes.
You know, he. The one thing the Lannisters have is alcoholism runs in the family.
Yes, you have one. They're both going through detox at the same time with Cersei, and
right.
And he's like, you know, but you know, he needs his wine. But
we all do. Right.
We all do. I mean, we kicked that fireball bottle in less than an hour.
Yeah, we did. There's right. Another interesting point that evil Ooh. Uncle Tyrion mentions, and because we're getting up to the end of the TV show episodes and the end of the books, that all I can say is I find very, very interesting.
Very interesting.
Is that Tyrion asks her, or kind of implies to her, and hints to her, maybe you should have a different dream other than sitting the Iron Throne. So would you guys be happy? And this is not a book spoiler at all. It's informed by my reading of the books. But if at the end of the series, say there was no Iron Throne, there was no quote-unquote King of the Seven Kingdoms, but it was more, I don't know, democratic, for lack of a better word, would that be a satisfactory ending for you guys? Or do you guys desperately want one victor sitting on the Iron Throne at the end? What do you guys want?
At the end of the show?
Yeah, at the end of the series.
It doesn't match up with this being the prequel to the Costner thing. So, I mean, fire meets ice creates water. It becomes Waterworld.
Oh.
Waterworld is the sequel to Game of Thrones.
And the comeback of Gene Triplehorn.
People don't do plastic surgery on your face. All right, so... Let's get down to brass tacks. Do you guys want someone on the Iron Throne at the end? And if so, who?
Wow. I definitely think of the choices we've been given, she's with the right people around her, the best choice.
Okay.
In my opinion.
Heath, what do you think?
I want on the Iron Throne.
Right.
I haven't decided yet. But I will say this.
Okay.
Okay. I think Jon Snow is the key to everything. But that's been my theory since season one. But if you remember, in the House of the Undying.
Oh, I did remember. Excellent. Season 2, episode 10.
Yeah, there was a shot when Daenerys was going through of the roof open, Snow, and the Iron Throne there with nobody on it.
Right.
And Snow coming down.
Right, and she went to touch it, and yet right before she touched it, she stopped, and then she looked somewhere else.
So I'm almost thinking this whole time, they're talking about, you're the rightful heir. I'm the rightful heir. I want to be the queen. I want to be the either. I have a feeling when you brought up democracy,
right,
something else is going to happen. Granted, it's been the whole series, everyone fighting for the right to the throne,
mm-hmm.
but maybe there's something, I mean... White Walkers, you got to deal with. Forget the politics.
Oh, yeah.
Shit's coming.
Oh, say
the shit's going to hit the fan, to quote Airplane.
Hell yeah.
But, so I don't know. That image always sticks in my mind.
It sticks
that's really smart.
And no one there.
Plus, he's the least likely. He's a bastard right out of the gate. And
right.
he's sworn to the wall.
That's true.
Are you dissing my boy, Jon
Snow? No, I'm saying it makes him even less likely. Takes him even less out of our point of view.
No, I know. I just wanted to say that. I almost bought Bubba Jon Snow figure today. But
oh, no.
They were,
oh, please.
Okay, anyway.
So we get to this famous line from the trailer where Daenerys says, I don't want to stop the wheel. And Tyrion implies, hey, you think you're going to stop the wheel? People have tried, they haven't. Daenerys says she's going to break the wheel. You know what? I paid good money for this wheel. Don't break it.
Shit, yeah. I mean, John Lennon talked about watching him,
For God's sakes. Now I have to go back to Pep Boys just because you freaking broke my wheel? All right, let's go.
Pep Boys? Oh.
Yeah, right. Manny Moe and Wata.
Manny Moe.
And this is Game of Thrones, so Manny is spelled with two Y's.
Yeah.
And so, all right, so That's the end of this scene. She takes Tyrion in. You guys sound like you're happy that Daenerys took Tyrion in. And let's jump to this, what I can only call the exhibition of pit fighting arena, where Jorah, banished from the city, comes back. He comes back to this guy who bought him, a guy named Yezzan. And he's like, hey, you paid me a salary because I'm a quote-unquote free man. You want somebody to be in front of the, you know, to fight for you. He's like, put me in front of the queen, and if you do that, I'll be your slave. You can sell me. You can make some cold, hard cash off me. What do you guys...
I'm going to reverse it back to you, yeah, Bubba.
Sure.
What is Jorah's game plan here? Because, all right, granted, he got banished again. This is his own, probably his only option. Unless,
oh, my Lord, yes.
So what does he expect to win the tournament and become... What does the winner of the great games get? Besides a date with Catfish.
I can only assume at this point that his thought process, and once again, this is me assuming based on something that we've seen in the show, is when Sir Friendzone was fighting last week, remember when he broke out of the back and he started beating up everybody in this pre-trial heat, Daenerys kind of, if you watched her reaction, she was kind of smiling. She was like, ooh, wow, this guy's pretty good. So maybe, and this is me basing my own assumption on what I've seen, maybe he thinks that he's like, well, if I prove my worth on the battlefield, she doesn't trust me as an advisor because I spied all these things. Maybe I could at least prove myself as a badass that if she needs me to go out there and kick some tail, I can do it. That, because nothing else makes some sense. I mean, I've been hung up on ladies before, but dear Lord,
yeah, this is,
get over it.
Yeah.
Get over it.
I mean, he's beating a dead bantha here, definitely.
He's beating a dead bantha. Yeah, oh, my Lord.
You could have said at least a dead Targaryen. Oh, whatever. No, bantha. Everyone's favorite Star Wars fan. It's Glenn Ewing. Now, what is Dario going to think of the little half-man
hanging out
a lot? Is he going to like threesome? Or is he going to be, you know... And what about little Hisdar? He's not really little.
Well,
I don't like him.
You don't like Hisdar?
I don't trust the fucker.
Oh, you don't trust
him? I don't trust him. I believe Dario. He's the leader of the Hoppy, as we say in Rhode Island. And he's freaking... We need to kill him.
That if it's okay, Heath, I completely disagree. I think he's stone cold. He's cool. He's like, you know what? Guys, we've been like this before. We like sporting events and our girl doesn't, but we still drag her to the pre-trial pit fights to, you know, go to the game with us, right? And so I think Hisdar is my Dar. He's Hisdar, her Dar, he's everybody's Dar. And I think, number one, Hisdar might be upset.
But he's not a double J.
Double J?
Jar Jar!
Folks, we have been drinking.
So. We have been drinking. So, and I've been waiting all week to do double letters.
All right, Misa upset. He's upset. Misa, he wants to get back with Misa. And so I don't blame him. I say, you know what? Listen, guys, if your lady rejects you twice, keep chasing her. That's the stalker way. And so,
And Sting wrote it the best.
Yeah.
Right. Every breath you take.
Oh,
every
I'll
move
be watching,
you make.
Right?
I'll be watching you. Yes.
I thought you were going to say, if you love somebody, keep coming back to you. Keep coming back to them after they've kicked you out of their fucking city. All right.
Hey!
Especially when you're the only one in the land carrying a plague.
Does Ian Glenn look more jacked than usual?
Well, thank you.
Well, there's nothing more. There's nothing more to get you kind of, you know, pumped than to be rejected. Because every time I'm rejected, I go to the gym. That's the only time I go to the gym, folks. And so... So
four times a week, really? That's messed up. Skip ahead.
What I was going to say, hashtag skip ahead, everybody. So everybody, there are two episodes left of
Game of Thrones
season. And so what do you guys want to see in Meereen? Is there anything else left to see other than perhaps Daenerys' marriage? What else do you guys want to see?
The main games.
You want to see the pit?
I hope so. They've been talking about little pits and Brad pits.
Right.
So I want to see big pits.
Sure.
And I want to see what happens with Jorah.
Amen.
And I want to see the Tyrion, Danny storyline I want to see their relationship maybe grow,
sure.
See what's going to happen, and I want to see Dario kill a bunch of people.
Oh, wow. What do you want to see, Glenn?
Actually, you know what I want to see, since Tyrion claims to be a big fan of dragons, I want to see him interact with them, and maybe he has some control over them that we don't know about.
Oh, wow.
Through books or something, where he's learned something.
No,
Let me ask you another question.
Sure.
In what we know from the TV show.
Yeah.
Do they have any defenses against dragons in Westeros or any King's Landing or anything like that?
But I haven't seen any kind. I honestly think people don't know how to deal with them anymore. Because they've been dead for over
170
years. Ooh. Yeah.
Can you control them? See, that's the rub.
Yeah, she hasn't been able to.
Yeah.
I would say that she's getting Uncle Tyrion as an advisor. If she was given Joffrey you know what? I want to point this out, folks.
Fireball.
If Joffrey had been there to advise Daenerys, which he would never do because he's king and he wouldn't, you know, listen to her rulership. But remember, there's the evil Meereenese whore who keeps leading people into ambushes by the Sons of the Harpy.
Yes.
Joffrey knew how to treat whores. Daenerys needed Joffrey. She gets half that, if barely, in the half-man.
Well, they were kind of
And so that's side. It for Meereen this week. Let's go into a deep, dark cell where Nurse Ratched enters, and she gives...
Brienne's sister.
She gives Mama Joffrey some delicious gruel. And Mama Joffrey is not willing to confess. This woman keeps coming in. She keeps coming in and telling Mama Joffrey, Cersei, to confess. Cersei is having none of it. And so...
I still would have sex with her right now, though.
Cersei or the...
Yeah, Cersei. No, not Sister Act 3. Lena Headey is...
Do you like seeing, and I think, Glenn, you said it.
Yeah.
Do you like seeing Cersei laid low?
This is so long overdue and so satisfying.
Oh, wow. You think so?
I'm very pleased seeing her put in her place.
Oh, wow. This is what you're calling a double P.
Double P?
Place pudding.
Yes.
So that's interesting. And so the first time, and there are kind of a lot of short scenes where this the woman I like to call, this septa I like to call, Nurse Ratched, comes in and says, hey, confess, and she doesn't. So we see one scene where the Nurse Ratched says, come in, confess, Cersei says no, and then we flip away to other scenes, and we immediately come back to Cersei, and Cersei is still defiant. She is not willing to confess.
Good for her.
Oh, you think that's good?
So you know what? I feel sorry for Cersei, and I'm on Team Cersei.
Oh, really?
You want to know why?
Why?
Because she gave birth to Joffrey.
That is the greatest reason.
But I want to get serious now.
Okay.
Because I haven't been... Well, maybe... Anyway, Joffrey, your podcast live. I don't know why I feel bad for her. Even though we're supposed to hate her, and I've hated her many times.
Sure.
I have no idea why I'm turning on her side for some reason.
Is it because the conditions are so rough? She looks filthy. She's drinking water off the floor of this filthy cell.
I
mean, that is, she's drinking water like a dog. I mean, this is that. Is that why you feel sorry for her? What is it?
It could be, but you know what?
What?
Even though she's done terrible crap, okay, she's Cersei, whatever.
Right, sure.
I'm beginning to believe that, like, Margaery has become worse.
Ooh.
Than Cersei in my book.
Wow.
She's turning that way.
Wow.
And I'm thinking we're supposed to be in
the... I find that a bit shocking to say, but explain why you feel that way.
Well, think about, even though...
Sure.
I'm thinking we're missing the boat.
What do you mean?
On the Tyrells.
Ooh.
I don't think they're as good as we think.
Oh, wow.
I think Margaery wants to be the queen.
Oh, good.
And I think she would do anything, even though...
Well, she's done usurper Tommen.
Yes. And but no, but seriously, I don't know. I don't like Margaery as much this season.
Oh, wow.
I'm not feeling the love for her. I'm not feeling the love for the Tyrells.
Sure.
Loras
is
a pillow biter. I mean, who cares? But I don't know. I don't have any concrete...
Heath, I think this is... I love it because I think this is counter to what most viewers feel. So I love it. Keep explaining. Yeah, no.
I'll be honest. Yeah. Lannisters are down on their luck.
They are.
We've hated them, but the Tyrells. Think about the stuff Marjorie's doing with hey, now, you're an all-star, get your game on. How she's playing Tommen.
Yeah.
Who is in, you know, kind of innocent.
Oh,
I mean,
my
he's
Lord.
No, he's kind of a little guy. I just...
He won't come out of his room.
He's...
Oh, my Lord.
I know. If that was Joffrey, Joffrey would just be taking out whores with
please.
His bow and
he'd
arrow.
He'd be crossbowing Nurse Ratched. He'd be crossbowing the High Sparrow. This is ridiculous. Glenn, I have a feeling... Do you agree with Heath that we should feel sorry for Cersei? Or what do you think?
I want to meet Heath's pharmacist.
Well, they supply me with some great drugs, and I will, for this podcast...
There we go.
No.
So
you don't agree with that,
no,
apparently?
No, not at all. But I don't think their story is done, but I don't think they're as big into the picture. And again, I could be completely gobsmacked by this in two episodes.
Yeah, you probably will be. All right, so... In one of our next Cersei scenes, we see Qyburn, her kind of master of whispers that she appointed, this man kind of who got kicked out of the Citadel for...
Glenn got kicked out, too.
You know what? You party too much, or you practice on corpses like Qyburn might have. And so Qyburn comes in, and he is double being.
Wait, say that again?
Qyburn is double being.
Double being?
Bearing bad news.
Oh, double B. I'd say double bearing. I got confused. Sorry, catfish. I'm no catfish.
So Qyburn comes in and he's saying, hey, Tommen is unwilling to leave his room. He's called back Uncle Kevin. And that might be important. Uncle Kevin. He's like, he's pulled Uncle Kevin back from Casterly Rock. And
Casterly Rock? Is that the new place?
It is. It's
they sell fireball.
You ready? Get your cares away. Join the people's play.
Down in Castle Rock.
Down in Castle Rock. Down in Castle Rock. All right. So, wow. Folks, if you unsubscribe, I understand. So
it's totally my fault, but you know what? Go on. Sorry.
So Qyburn comes in, and he gives her that news. He's like, the king is in trouble. He's called back Uncle Kevin. And Qyburn is trying to pitch to the queen. He's like, there may be a way out of this. But I think Qyburn's most important note is that note at the end where he says, the work still continues. Guys, do you know what Qyburn is implying when he says the work still continues?
Yes.
What is that?
The mountain.
Ooh.
The secret weapon of Westeros. All I could think about was that happy ending under the sheet when he convulsed. No, you know, I was thinking like, because he's like, isn't he like, there's a way out.
Right. He says there is a way out.
He doesn't talk like this, but I do.
Right. Well, I think part of the way out, Cersei originally thinks it's to confess.
There's an easy way.
And Cersei will not confess. She's like, the High Sparrow, I made him. F him.
Yeah.
I'm not going to. Give me a break. Yeah. And so it's interesting that as soon as it kind of gets into the nitty gritty, who comes in but the person I like to call Septa Nurse Ratched. And Sir Septa Nurse Ratched comes in and pretty much scares Qyburn away. Septa Nurse Ratched is once again demanding that Cersei confess. Cersei will not. And so the final scene in King's Landing this week is once again Septa Nurse Ratched coming in. She's providing that sustenance, that water. She's like, confess, confess, confess. Cersei won't. And then Cersei drinks the friggin' floor. Oh my God.
But what's key? What? Bubba,
let's hear it.
The work continues. You know what that means?
True. What? Yeah,
the mountain.
That's the
mountain could be like the new Hulk of Westeros and just take people out and break her out. Or I have absolutely no idea.
Right.
But that's the whole point.
He could be an anchor.
News anchor.
He could be an anchor to drag her even further down.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, that's true.
I didn't mean that, but that's good.
But that's good. Well, Bubba, look at that.
All right, so guys, once again, I'm going to keep asking you guys this. I apologize if it's annoying.
No, keep asking.
I want to hear, what do you guys think? What is going to happen for the rest of these final two episodes with Queen Cersei, Joffrey's mother?
Okay.
What do you think will happen, and what do you want to happen?
I am going to do a theory from Sir Axel Foley.
Oh, great.
Podcast Little Fell.
Love Axel Foley.
He loves this podcast.
Oh,
he loves you and Catfish very much. He told me to send his love.
Often while we're
and
sleeping.
His foot massages.
Hey, no means no.
Hey, all right. He said from the flashback of the first shot of this season, Cersei was going to die.
Whoa.
Now, after seeing this, confess. Right. She's going to kill herself.
Ooh. That's what you suspect might happen. What do you want to see happen?
I want to see Cersei.
Yeah? You want to see Cersei?
In my bed. Oh. No. You know, I'll be honest with you. I don't know what I want to happen.
Sure.
I, she's not going to confess. What I want her to do is get rescued by Jaime Lannister.
Oh, wow.
And the people of Dorne.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Well, I don't know why I said the people of Dorne. Maybe,
that's
where he is. Maybe Jaime and Bronn save her.
Okay.
And fight the Faith Militant.
Wow. Well,
okay, that's an outside the box, what Heath would write and probably get fired for. But I want to make sense of this whole Dorne thing because it's three amigos, two. It's pissing me off. I want it to have some relevance.
No problem. All right, Glenn, I want to know, what do you think's going to happen? What do you want to happen in these final two episodes?
Just looking at the situation that we've kind of been taught, anyone in power now sees her as someone who can't aid them in any way, so she's irrelevant.
Ooh.
So she's disregarded, potentially.
That's what you think's going to happen, you want to happen?
No, this is what I think.
Okay.
I'm quite happy with where she is. That said, I think it's going to take Captain Left Hand to come in and save her.
Great call.
Captain Left Hand?
Yeah, I don't...
Jaime Lannister.
Yeah. I don't know anybody else who would be remotely loyal to her that jumps to mind.
Is that okay? So that's great. Just so I understand, is that what you want to have happen?
Oh, no. Want. She can stay right where she is.
Oh, no.
I realize that's blowing a major character and that won't happen.
Well, you want her to be double L.
Double L?
A lock to Lannister.
Nice.
All right. So, folks, we're going to leave King's Landing. We're going to go back across the Narrow Sea, and we're going to visit the great city of Bravos.
The Bravosi.
And this is going to be, folks, we're watching it here, and we got closed caption on. And I think this closed caption might be important because there's kind of a great setup that happens here with Arya and the guy, maybe he's just a man, but the guy we know as Jaqen H'ghar. And so we're going to try to read exactly this craziness, what it is. So we go to Arya, and she says her name is Lana, an orphan. Lana, maybe like a Lannister. And she's coming up with this great backstory. She's like, this is why I'm selling oyster. So she's kind of coming up with her backstory of when she goes deep undercover selling these oysters here in Bravos.
She looks weird with the little Princess Leia buns, no?
I actually kind of think it's cute. I think she looks good. I think there's a cat cuts across her while she's walking the canals and she's selling these oysters. And what we find out is that by out there, in the last time we saw Arya, the Jaqen H'ghar says she's not ready to be a faceless man, but maybe she's ready to be someone else. And this someone else she's being, apparently, is Lana, the oyster sailor, and she's still practicing her lying, and she gets smacked when she lies, because she doesn't turn left down this one street, she turns down left down this other street. And Jaqen, he smacks her, because he can know when she's lying. And she's kind of telling Jaqen everything she sees. And Jaqen, he wants her to turn right into Ragman's Harbor because he wants her to notice certain things. And apparently one of the things he wants her to notice is this kind of moneylender, this kind of bookie, or not bookie, that's the wrong word to say, but what do you call somebody who, a crook?
Loan shark.
Yeah, loan. Oh,
that's
you.
What I do.
That's exactly right.
Yeah.
That's exactly right. Jaqen apparently wants her to see this loan shark. And she takes good note of it. She sells him some oysters, and she takes some... I really enjoyed this part. It's kind of one of this beginning part. But she sees this guy, and he is just, he's being a loan shark. He's like, I'll give you this. And he's buying oysters from her.
With vinegar.
Right, with vinegar. Everybody, We know what oysters do to you. Real quick, what did you guys think of this section in Bravos?
I didn't initially get it until he corrected her.
Ooh, good.
And then it clicked with me that he's training her for a mission.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Right.
He's a mission from God. Yeah. Oh, sorry.
He sent her deep undercover, and now he's going to have that pay off. Did you enjoy it, Glenn? What did you think?
Yeah, I thought it was great. I think it's a good beginning foundation of the, I don't remember what they're called, the people with
the faceless men.
Faceless men, yeah.
The faceless, kneel to the faceless God, Glenn.
What do you think, Heath? Did you enjoy it? What did you think?
I didn't.
Why not?
Because I expected when she was going to take, because I have property on Ragman Lane, when she was going to take that right instead of a left,
yeah.
I thought she was going to run into Sir Marin Trent.
Ooh, good call, because so, we know Sir Marin and Marjorie and Loras' father, Mace Tyrell, are headed to Braavos. That's a good call.
So I was a little disappointed, but then I came back around. Now I understand this is part of her training. I was a little confused because right here I was just like, was there's American Express cards on maps?
It is pretty confusing.
Don't leave home without it.
Let's see if we can figure it out by reading these closed captions. So a guy comes up and the guy is dropping off some money to this loan shark. And he's like, hey, I've just come back from my 18th voyage and everything's been fine. But apparently the money he gives to the loan shark isn't enough because two henchmen drag him away.
Yeah.
And perhaps this guy just hasn't been able to pay back his loan in time.
Well, that's his own damn fault.
That's a good call. But Jacken doesn't agree.
Okay.
He goes, the loan shark wages that a man will, you know, that this guy who captains this ship won't make, and that every time this guy has made it, meaning this captain has completed 18 voyages, that loan shark loses money. And so this is kind of an interesting kind of, this guy's betting against the captain, this guy they refer to as the thin man, the guy who buys these oysters. And he says, why would the captain even wager that he would make it as opposed to not? And apparently it turns out the man, he's debt, he's in trouble, and that if this captain dies, the thin man will have to pay his family a lot of money. But perhaps the gambler loses his bet and decides he does not have to pay after all. And so his family, the captain's family, a destitute woman and child, won't get their money. And apparently Jacken Hagar, and I'll just keep calling him that, doesn't think that's cool. He's like, wait a minute. This loan shark is betting against the captain returning alive. The captain keeps dozing, so the loan shark kills the captain. But, of course, the twist of it is, if the captain disappears, the loan shark is supposed to pay the wife and child, but the loan shark isn't going to do it.
Mm.
Jacken doesn't like it, and so he gives a vial to the girl we know as Arya Stark, but who apparently is now Lana, the oyster seller.
Oh,
and he's
yes.
like, hey, I don't like this loan shark. I don't like the scam he's running. I want you to give him the gift. The gift was the title of last week's episode. Maybe this was supposed
double
to...
Double G. Great gift.
Right. So maybe these scenes were supposed to air in last week's episode, but the many-faced god, he doesn't like loan sharks who kind of kill people so that their bet comes in, and he gives Arya this poison, and I kind of enjoy it. Or Arya. I shouldn't call her Arya. I should call her Lana of the Docks.
And Lanaria.
So... Is that like a bad disease you get?
We'll find out.
Okay.
So, the thin man, this loan shark... Do you guys want, in these final two episodes, for Arya to kill the thin man and, quote-unquote, complete this mission she's been given by Jacken Hagar? Is that what we're going? Is that what you want to see happen? What do you think?
I don't think she's game in on this. I think hiding, is it Sliver? Her sword?
No, that was a bad Sharon Stone movie. No, Needle.
Needle, okay.
Right, she hid her sword, Needle.
Hiding Sliver. Needle just, sorry. It just makes me think that she's not all in. She doesn't.
Oh wow!
It doesn't matter how far she advances.
Yeah,
heart's not in it.
Well,
there's an ulterior motive.
If she kills this thin man, this loan shark, will that mean her heart's in it, or just that?
No, it's a novice step. I mean, that's a move up. You know, maybe to the next level to a different level of training. But in order for her to be able to flip her face the way he did in the past.
Yeah, well, she's not ready for that.
Yeah, she's not ready.
She's a long ways away, and I don't think she'll get there.
Heath, do you want to see little Lana, the oyster seller, kill the thin man, a.k.a. Orson Welles. It's a great film.
Well, I mean, I'm all for loan sharks. I'm a guinea, so I understand the business part. But in Game of Thrones lore, yeah. Yes. I mean, think about the smirk she gives when she all gets right. The poison. Now, is that a smirk, ooh, I get to kill this bastard, or a smirk, I want to go kill someone else?
Ooh, good question. Because she is definitely, as she's walking away from Jock and Hagar, she's definitely got a smirk on her face. It's like, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, this other woman that in the books, theoretically, this other character is called
the
Waif. So the Waif says that Arya is not ready. And Jock and Hagar is like, perhaps she is, perhaps she's not. Who cares? You know, the many-faced god doesn't care. You know, whatever. She's been told to do something. Let's see if she does it.
Yeah.
All right, so we're kind of left on Arya having a mission. Take out the loan shark. And that's where we are in the great state of Braavos.
Braavosi.
And so we've got two episodes left there. We've covered Meereen. We've covered King's Landing. We've covered Braavos. And the next place that we're going to visit here on the Joffrey podcast is, of course, Winterfell.
Winterfell.
And this has been an area that has upset many people. To see what Sansa Stark is going through is really rough. And dare I say it, is it possible that Sansa is going to end up reeked? We begin this Winterfell section with Reek coming in, and he's just been ruined. He's not even almost a human. He is kind of like a dog that deserves to sleep in the kettles. The general idea of this scene is she's like, listen, Theon, you turned me into Ramsay. How could you do it? He's like, there is no Theon. There's only Reek. Long story short, Reek gives up the fact that, hey, you think I killed your brothers. I did a lot of terrible things. I killed two innocent farm boys, but I didn't kill your brothers. Sansa has found out something. She's broken through this kind of insanity of him. I don't think Ramsay would want Reek to tell Sansa that. But Sansa is trying, she's fighting, she's got a steely look on her face in this scene, and she gets him to give up that, you know what, hey, two of your brothers are still alive. Is that, what does that imply, do you think, going forward?
I think it's the beginning of breaking Reek to become Theon. Even though the candle incident last week where he rammed to Ramsay, mm-hmm. I was like, done with him. I'm like, screw you, Reek.
Yeah.
But now, the fact that Reek, think about him giving that information, what would be done to him?
Right.
If Ramsay found out.
Oh, I can't even. Yeah.
The fact that he broke that to her, mm-hmm. which we wanted when Ramsay's like, Reek, apologize to Sansa. You know, but the fact that she's breaking through to him, I think, I hope it's not just a one time thing. I hope it's. I freaking love Sansa in this scene. She's. Think about what she's been through. And just like, it's terrible.
It is.
But you know what?
Yeah.
She, look at her. She is strong now and she knows the end game. And I'm proud of her. And I really liked her in this scene. Sophie Turner is really.
I think both the actors are incredible.
You know what? Sophie Turner has come. Think about this. Oh, little schoolgirl. I want to marry Joffrey, which everyone would.
Right. It's a natural feeling.
And then to her to progress to this strong woman who's been through a freaking hell of a trauma.
Hell yeah.
But now she's like, she realizes I need to break through Reek to get Theon back. And I think that's what she needs to do. And her expression there, like she found out some great information. Her brothers aren't dead.
Right.
She didn't find out where they were. But the fact that she broke through Theon and got that information, maybe that's something she'll hold on to get through this next fortnight or whatever.
And Heath, I think it's a great point that Reek is able to say this. But Reek didn't kill those two farm boys. It was Theon who did. So you're...
Oh, yeah, interesting.
That is a really good point.
Yeah.
Glenn, I'm going to come to you. And I want to ask you about this scene, but also, as you answer about this scene, I want you to talk about kind of these scenes that have upset so many people. How have you felt about this scene and overall about Sansa suffering this abuse in Winterfell?
Let me preface that.
Yeah.
Previous to the wedding.
Right.
A lot of the stuff that came to her, she had put on herself.
Oh,
she turned her back for the majority of the show on her family.
That's especially in season one,
And people forget that.
Yeah.
And she went after the Golden Ring.
Oh, yeah.
Without necessarily taking into account that there were going to be major consequences.
Mm-hmm.
Again, it's a minefield, so...
Right.
The wedding, I think, is exceptional. I think that was done by the writers.
Yeah, that's true.
For press. I don't think it's that important in the show. I think it was over
well,
the
what,
top.
Well, did you like this scene where she's been through... I mean, dear Lord, she's been through hell with Ramsay. But she still has some inner strength,
she
obviously.
She does. And clearly what we've seen, in my opinion anyway, with her you know, branching out from the family, in my opinion, seeing early on that the family was kind of screwed.
Oh, wow.
And taking it onto herself to try and make herself better or put herself in a better position, maybe in the long run to help her family. I don't know. I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
I think she's developed strengths that she wouldn't have gotten down other paths.
Oh.
And I think what...
She's had to develop strength.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I think Reek just gave her a candle in the tower.
In the wind? Or I thought you were going
to
Ellen John.
No, up in the tower. I think he just gave her a flicker of hope by telling her her brothers aren't dead.
No, I
and
well,
something to hold on to throughout all of this.
Let me say that's a great point, Glenn. This next scene, Sansa grabbed that tool in last week's episode, possibly a weapon. But it appears that she won't get to use it maybe this season because Ramsay implies, hey, Papa, Roose Bolton, you want to hide behind these walls. I think the smarter move is to sneak out to Stannis and his 6,000 troops that are trapped in the snow and, you know, cause some hell there. And so maybe Sansa won't get to use this weapon on Ramsay this season. Yeah, let's get to this next scene. It's a real short scene. It's in what... the Winterfell kind of main hall, and its battle plans is what I'd call it. And we see Roos and Ramsay and another advisor who actually speaks. And once again, there's 6,000 forces that Stannis has, but half of them are mounted. That means they have horses. And if anybody knows history, mounted forces are incredibly important. Roos asks, well, hey, they have horses. Hooray. How tall can they jump? They can't jump over the wall. We have enough food for 6 months. I don't think with winter coming, 6 months of food is enough,
no.
Roose. But Roose's plan is, hey, let's just hide behind these walls. We'll freeze them and starve them out. And Ramsay disagrees. Ramsay says, you know what? Stannis isn't from the north. We are father. It's a chance to show the people of the north, hey, I've married a Stark, so they'll like us in some ways. But we can also show these southern invaders that we can take them out. Give me 20 good men, and we'll sneak up on Stannis' frozen thing, and we'll kill them all and leave a feast for crows.
Book title.
Book title. Is Ramsay read books? I don't think he's literate, but anyway. So, I have to be honest, of this competing father-son Bolton drama, I think the father's right. We're behind these walls. What's the big deal?
I agree.
Yep.
You know,
I think Ramsay's an idiot. 20 men to take out all that? It doesn't make sense.
It does not make sense
without
to me.
Tom Cruise? It's not going to happen.
Right, without Tom Cruise, man. Without the Edge of Tomorrow technology to see the future. Ramsay may not be smart, but maybe it's cocky. I don't know what adjective I want to use to say, hey... let's go out with 20 men and cause some havoc. And Ramsay, he's maybe not smart, but he has proven to be cunning. So maybe we won't see a battle at Winterfell between Stannis and the Boltons like we've been implied all season. Maybe instead we're going to see Ramsay's 20 men try to cause trouble. And maybe that'll lead to his death. Maybe that will cause trouble.
Question for you,
yeah,
Baba.
Sure.
Does Lord Bolton want Ramsay to do this? Does he want Ramsay to die?
Oh, boy. Mm. You put yourself in Roose Bolton's shoes. You've got this bastard. He likes flaying people. Now, your sigil is a flayed man, but
yes.
At the same point, you can't flay everybody. Son, you're going a bit crazy. Son, you are crazy.
Pork sausage.
I've got a pregnant wife who the maesters believe might be a son. Maybe it's a good idea to say, hey, Ramsay, you want to go out there and kill yourself? Sure. That's a great point, Heath.
Yeah, I often think it's almost like, and yeah. I think I said this on podcast Little Fell, found on iTunes.
Right, download on iTunes right now, everybody.
Right now. Do it. Anyway, that Bolton's like, all right, I got this bastard. I just legitimized him. He's freaking nuts. He's crazier than me. I'm going to use him to my advantage. If he dies, he dies. But if he gets shit done, then I'll take it. Kind of one of those deals, so.
Well, if I were Roose Bolton, that's a...
You are Roose Bolton, aren't you?
My hairline's getting there, folks. All right, so, Heath, I would say that's a great point. Glenn, thoughts? Who's right, the dad or the son?
I completely agree with you. I think it's the dad, and I think he arguably could be setting his kid up if he goes out there.
Good riddance.
Indeed, but my question again, sure. I'll bounce a question off of you.
Sure.
How much experience does the kid have in the field?
He doesn't seemingly have any in the field. When Roose marched his forces with Rob down to fight the Lannisters way back then, he left his son behind. So this kid can't have any war experience. That is a great point, Glenn. Maybe that's a sign that Roose is about... I'm sorry, that Ramsay's about to get what's coming to him.
He's no Yara.
Where is Yara? We haven't seen her.
I know
her
where
all
she
season.
Is.
Where is she, Heath?
She is... at Glenn's flat right now, waiting for him to come back.
Let her out.
Oh shit! Then I don't know where she is.
She ran from.
She's with Donald.
She ran from Glenn's place because Glenn has dogs, and we know she runs when she runs when she sees dogs.
Well, he actually has cats, which is even worse. Oh, she's afraid of cats.
All right, folks, we've got two more locations that we got to hit in this episode, and we're going to start the last two at the wall where Gilly is mending up Sam, and Sam takes a good punch, meaning that I had a Twitter listener who complained that I complained about last week's episode because I thought, boy, Sam got beat up too much, Gilly got threatened with rape too much. That mm-hmm. And the Twitter listener tweeted at me, he's like, boy, you were squeamish. What do you have against punches? And that's a great point because I paid good money with Catfish to see the Pacquiao Mayflower fight, and I wish there
had been Mayflower?
The Pilgrim fight? Yes, that was good.
I paid good money with Catfish to see the Pacquiao Mayweather fight, and Sam took more punches than Mayweather did.
Mayflower.
It's stuck in my head, folks.
Right. Sorry.
So, no, hey, you're right.
No, but I love you. Okay, let's keep it
edit
PG.
That to the end,
we'll edit
everybody.
That out to the end.
All right, so Sam has been healed up, and in comes my boy Ollie. I like Ollie a lot.
Ollie's the best.
Ollie comes in to see Sam. He's a steward. He's giving Sam some stuff. And Ollie, he even gives a side eye to Gilly the wildling. Did you notice that? Ollie hates every wildling. If you were like half wildling, like, sure, my dad's a wildling, Ollie would give you the stink eye. He is not happy about this. But I have to give it up for Ollie. Ollie's parents were slaughtered by wildlings, not specifically Tormund Giantsbane, but an attack led by Tormund Giantsbane.
Yes.
Ollie hates this idea. And so Ollie comes to Sam, and Sam tries to do the selling that Jon Snow didn't do, where Sam said, listen to me, I've seen the Army of the Dead. I've seen the White Walkers. You hate the wildlings. There's some good ones. There's some bad ones. But guess what? Even the bad ones are better than the double W's, the White Walkers.
Double W's?
In this case, I mean White Walkers. I don't mean Wyndham Wizard.
Oh, okay, Wyndham Wizard.
The Wyndham Wizard is better than the White Walkers. And so Sam gives a great kind of note to Ollie, as if Ollie kind of needs some kind of notes about
note
leadership,
Ollie.
Is he's like, Ollie, listen to me. Sometimes you have to do things even if they're not popular. And Ollie seems to take that to heart. He's like, John's taking a risk. He has to. If I read the scene correctly, Sam's like, listen, men have to take chances even that they know are right, that everybody disagrees with. Even if everybody disagrees with it, you got to do with it. Ollie's like, you believe that? Sam's like, I believe it with all my heart. And Ollie takes that to heart. Does Ollie care about John? He does. He smiled when John was elected Lord Commander. But Ollie, it'd be like you voted for somebody and then they start doing something you don't agree with. I mean, why is the scene here? I assume the scene's here to kind of once again set up the next scene of John at Hardhome. But what did you guys think of Sam, Gilly, and Ollie and this kind of debate about, hey, sometimes you have to do things that aren't popular? Any thoughts or just it was a scene?
I'm afraid.
Afraid? What do you mean?
Ollie killed a grit.
Yeah, it was a good shot.
Yes.
And he gave John the nod. He's like, hey, took care of her.
I liked that nod.
Yeah.
That nod was good. They're really going on the track of Ollie disagreeing with John.
Yeah.
I don't know what would happen, but I just, something's not right. And then with Sir Alistair Thorne, I believe, last week saying, you know, the wildlings killed his family, and he mentions it this week. Yeah. And Sam's like, don't worry, John will be back. Something's not right. Something doesn't feel right. I don't know, and I don't even want to speculate because I'm afraid to.
Right.
But why are they? What is Ollie going to do?
Well, could Ollie maybe quit the Night's Watch? Maybe John, we saw the scene of maybe John's going to come back with wildlings and Ollie's like, don't let him in. And that would be, you know, that'd be like Benedict Arnold type betrayal.
Or Ollie could like fight the wildlings and get killed. Like he's like, screw this. I don't know.
We don't want more kids to.
Well,
to
no, die. No.
But that's a great point.
But, you know, I'm just, why are they doing these scenes with Ollie?
He didn't. At the end of the conversation with Sam,
yeah,
he didn't look convinced at all.
Oh, really? I kind of thought he did. Sorry, what did you think he looked?
There was a lot of doubt in his eye.
Okay.
In my opinion, I don't know. I think he's right. I think something's going to happen with him that is going to be out of the blue that we're not expecting.
Mm. Oh boy!
Probably after Ollie gets his adverbs.
Oh, well, what if, I mean, this is, I am going to a dark place, people, but we saw what Janos said.
Dark place?
Right. I'm going down deep into Fraggle Rock, and I'm saying that what if we saw Jon Snow have to take off Janos Slynt's head? Now, all Janos Slynt did was abandon the battlefield to protect the pantry. And so...
That's it, yeah.
I mean, you know, he was, people have to eat, and he was protecting the food from wilding. What if Jon Snow has to give Janos Slynt treatment to Ollie?
Oh, shit.
God, would we like Jon Snow if he killed a kid? Ooh.
That would be tough.
It'd brand him a double K.
Double K?
Kid killer. Oh. But we see some dead kids in this next scene, and let's get to it, folks. I thought this was the best episode of the season, some really good stuff, but let's get to it. Let's get to that great vacation north getaway where I don't believe Wyndham has any hotels. Let's get to the wildling village of Hardhome. And this, folks, they spent some money on this. They've got CGI ships.
They borrowed money from Glenn.
Glenn, give up some cash.
Glenn's donations helped.
So Jon Snow, Ed, one of the Night's Watchmen, and Tormund are paddling up to this wildling
men grunting. Village. Sorry.
One thing I want to ask you guys is there was some great, just to be honest, politics, I thought, about the wildlings. Some would agree with John to go south of the wall, some wouldn't. But, and this is even before the White Walker attack with the evil zombies and stuff. What did you guys think of this final section? I wanted you guys to kind of share your emotion, share your kind of thoughts on this final scene. Glenn, go first. What did you think about this kind of, all the action, which took up a good bit of the episode. In fact, I kind of want to look at my timer here and see how much of Hardhome.
Can we analyze it frame by frame?
Oh, dear God, no. No, we cannot do that. But Hardhome, let's get to it. We get to Hardhome 33 minutes into the episode, and then we look like we spend another close to 30 minutes on it.
Wow. Yeah.
So what did you think, Glenn, of this Hardhome section?
Well, right out of the gate, I think John's 100% correct. Anybody outside of the wall is going to become part of the other army.
Right.
And you got to try and convince, you know, by whatever means, whoever you can. And they would not have come without him.
Oh, I think that's completely true.
That's what she said.
Or without Tormund, excuse me. Indeed. I think without Tormund is a good wingman on this.
Absolutely, yeah.
And I love the two of them together, fighting together. Yeah.
And they don't trust each other as far as they could throw them.
No, dear Lord, no. And so, just once again, overall, super fun, super exciting. What were your emotions during this scene?
I've been waiting for this for a long time, not knowing White Walkers were coming, but just this bit to see how this plays out.
Mm-hmm.
Because this potentially is a major part.
Yeah.
And then that happened. We'll get there, but... Yeah. This whole interplay I thought was excellent.
I did too. Yeah.
I don't know his name, but the guy with the skull, call him Ghost Rider.
You mean, well, he has a name on the show, and among wildlings, he calls himself Lord of Bones. And then the crows, the Night's Watch, the Black Brothers, they tend to derisively call him Rattleshirt because he makes so much noise with all these bones. Yeah, that was a fun scene, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Heath, what did you think of this final 30 minutes of the episode?
Absolutely phenomenal.
Oh, yeah. Really?
I didn't know what to expect. you know, I did expect when they were going on the ships, I'm like, no, they're not going to take them out on the ships. That's what I was worried about. And then something was happening in the distance, and we'll get to that. But I just love this interaction. I love Jon Snow and Tormund.
They make a great team.
I always called from last season that they would become, I don't know, 1 and 1B, to 1A and 1B together. I like their dynamic. I hope in this series, like, the two of them are like, you know, Tango and Cash or whatever, because...
let's hope they're more successful at the box office.
Yeah, let's hope. But, I mean, Tormund kicking the... I mean, did he kill the Lord of Bones? I mean, it sure looked like
Tormund
it.
Tormund was not having any of it. The Lord of Bones tried to object and not even... Tormund's like, hey, let's talk... Let's gather up all the leaders of these tribes and let's meet... Lord of Bones was like, no. Tormund's like, oh, yeah, you don't think so? Well, you're going to be double beat.
Double beat?
Broken boned.
Broken bones.
He's Lord of double bees, the Lord of broken bones, because Tormund totally takes him out. I loved it.
Oh, my God.
Tormund, he doesn't do this enough in the Windham ads, does he?
Wouldn't no, he doesn't. I'm expecting next Windham ad to beat the crap out of
someone. Wouldn't he be great if, like, somebody's like, you know, I want to go to a Hilton.
Hilton? A double H?
You want to go to a Hilton. I did just
grunts.
Crush him. And so Tormund crushes this guy. For our listeners, if you don't have American TV ads, Tormund is in a series of hotel ads for this chain of hotels that are Wyndham Hotels. So after he takes out the Lord of Bones, everybody gathers in this kind of hall. It almost looks like a Norse hall, to be honest. And a lot of hairy people and a wonderful actress. And I want to pat myself on the back. Nobody knows this. But when one of the preseason trailers came out, and this actress, I believe her name is Brigitte, I can't pronounce her last name.
I met her in Avance.
But she's in the Danish, the popular international Danish show Borgen. I wrote this in the comments on the website, Watch Her in the Wall. And then they caught it, and they posted it as like, hey, this Danish actress joined Game of Thrones. I'm like, hey, that was me.
Hey!
I was the one who noticed that she joined.
Oh, wow.
So she's in there. There's,
I like her.
There's a Thane in there, and... Half of them agree, half of them don't agree. I feel this is very honest, don't you guys? That some would say, hey, I'll do it. And some are like, F you, Crow, I'm not going to do it.
No, it was great, and especially the giant.
God, I love the giant.
Giant's freaking awesome.
He's fun. So
no, this scene worked really well for me because it wasn't like, okay, we'll all follow you, you're right. No, it's real.
Exactly.
Some people are like, screw you. Some people are like, well, what do you think? Some people are like, we're going to follow you.
Mm-hmm.
It made sense to me.
No, it made sense to me, too. And the debate they're coming up with is, listen, Jon Snow, I think, starts off with so much honesty. I think too much honesty. And one point we're going to get to it in a second. But he starts off with so much honesty. He's like, you hate us, we hate you. It's okay if we keep hating each other. You know what's not okay? If either of us lose to the winter, lose to White Walkers, lose to these whites, these zombies that the White Walkers control. And so I thought it was a great argument. One of his big mistakes later in this scene is they're like, well, where's Mance? Why isn't Mance agreeing to this? And John, rather than explaining the context, he's like, oh, Mance, yeah, I shot him with an arrow in the heart. Whoopsie daisy.
Uh-oh.
Right, thank God Tormund stepped up and said, yes, what my fellow candidate is saying is that we kind of, you know, I mean, dear Lord. Now, John gives away the dragon glass.
I was like, no, you dumbass.
Oh, that was a dumb move. This actress from the Danish short series Borgen, she's like, hey, I've heard stories about dragon glass. The one Finn is like, I've heard stories about ice spiders. And she's like, and you don't believe them. Hello, have you been paying attention? Long story short, there's this great scene. Some agree, some don't. And our boy, the giant. I love the giant. The giant says, in really bad English, he's like, Tormund. So the giant agrees to get on the boats. And so we have about half and half, I guess is what I'd say, is that, you know, everybody's lost somebody. John talks about he's lost 50 friends in the Battle of the Wall. I love that, Glenn, were you the one who pointed out that he lost... 50 friends, all rapists.
No, that was me.
Oh,
that was me.
So good.
I want to take
so
credit
good.
For that one, too, because
no, so
I did
good.
Say that. Yes, 50 rapists. You know, why be all upset?
Right. He left that part out of it.
Yeah,
he realized that
my
the...
My brothers.
Right. He realized that telling them that he shot Mance was bad, but at this point, he's like, oh, I lost 50 friends. Fellow rapist.
Fellow rapist, yes.
And I love her. I love this actress from Borgin. She's you know, this Then is like, my ancestors would spit on me if I agreed with the crows. And she said, fuck them, they're dead.
Yeah,
thank God.
But one of the things also in John's speech is he says, we're not friends now, we won't be after this. Which is, he's not...
Right. He's not bullshitting them.
Exactly. He's being straight up.
Did you think that John, because we know he's a wildling lover, do you think that he was going to suddenly...
I was waiting for a double
I couldn't
letter.
Think of the second W in this, but...
Wildling wanker. Oh, sorry. For our British folk listeners.
Right, so do you think he had some connection with this? I like that he had some connection. He's like, let's do this.
I just like when they murmur. I really do.
All right, so, and then I want to point out that we all noticed when we were watching that it feels like one of these guys looks like Tormund's brother.
It does.
He's got red hair, red beard. The giant just, you know, what giant is a giant of few words. He just
says,
Tormund.
What the fuck are you looking at?
Right, so we begin the evacuation of Hardhome. Some are getting on the ships, and others are like, screw you, we're not getting
Well, it's hard
ships.
To stay at home, you know?
It's hard to be home. So,
all things considered, it's kind of a soft home.
Well, hey. Right, that fence, it is a soft home. That fence
Very
could,
soft
could
home,
not set up what was going to happen. Now, neither you guys are book readers. Did you see what was going to happening? You just thought, okay,
no.
They're agreeing. So what did you, but you guys both noticed when this female wildling, when she put her children on the boat, you thought that was bad news for her.
I said to Glenn, I said, I got a bad feeling about this.
Yeah. Right.
Star Wars
total reference. She kisses the kids. She makes the mistake of saying, I'll be right back. Parents, never
away.
Tell your kids you'll be right back. In
Doesn't
fact,
happen.
Tell them, kids, after you go to bed tonight, I'm going to be killed by zombies. So they know the truth.
Yeah. And then when you're there in the morning.
Right, they'll be like, oh, relieved. Okay.
Like, okay, mommy.
Every day's a gift, kids. Every day's a gift.
So the giant is checking out the dragon glass. And the giant is growling. Everybody here is ready to just... The ones who are want to evacuate don't, but suddenly there's dogs barking. How about this? I want to know from you guys. When did you know that, oh, snap, everything was in deep trouble?
Initially, if you listen to Heath and I on the couch, it was like...
Wait, whoa. Listen to me on the couch. Us on the couch, that sounds very sexual, Glenn.
I was going to say it sounds like therapy. Yes. Okay,
well, shows you where our minds
so,
are at.
So go on.
But anyway, Glenn,
know,
sorry.
But is it dragons? What is going on?
Oh, yeah, you said dragons. You thought dragons
and
were
coming.
And
then when the snow starts coming down the mountains.
Oh, yeah.
I was like, okay, this is exactly what I, you know.
Yeah, this is...
Didn't anticipate.
We have not really had a great battle since the battle at the wall. And I'm not even sure this season we've had great action. I was disappointed with the action in Dorne with the Sand Snakes attack Jaime and Bronn.
Three amigos.
And I've been hard-pressed to find great action. I even thought the Jorah early round fighting pit last week wasn't great. I'm not sure this was great, but great action, but it was great spectacle. It was great suspense. There's all these wildlings outside the wall, and then suddenly winter starts coming, and the snow starts coming. They start banging on the walls, and then suddenly it stops banging on the walls. Oh, my God, was this fun.
Yeah.
This was fun. This was suspenseful. This was crazy. The Thin, you would think he likes eating people. Why he wouldn't want more inside the walls, but he's like, screw this. They shut the gates on some of their fellow wildlings, and maybe it's the right move, maybe it's the worst move, I don't know. But all hell breaks loose. This is crazy. I don't know how much running commentary we can give about this, other than to say...
I can run and talk if you want.
Other than to say, we heard people on the other side of the gate begging to get in, and then they stop pushing. Not only did they stop pushing... But their shadows disappear from under the wall. And it's like, oh, snap. Next thing you know, skeletons, zombies, White Walkers on a horse, the blue eyes of the White Walkers. And it is, oh, fuck, we are screwed. This is great action. You know, jump in anytime, guys. Wildlings are running into the wall. What do you think, Heath?
So we have White Walkers. We have the Whites as well.
Mm-hmm.
So the White Walkers control the Whites, and they're like the first line.
Right. The way I would describe it is back in this period of time, whatever, you know, this is quote-unquote medieval our time, medieval this alternate universe time, is that they didn't have the word zombie. They called zombies whites, W-I-G-H-T. And so the White Walkers control these whites. And it is just pure pandemonium. It is insanity. The whites are crawling up the walls. They're pushing the walls over. They're climbing up on top of the Norse kind of chamber, which I mentioned that the giant's in. This is insane. They spent some money on this. It is fun to watch.
The giant was awesome.
Oh, yeah.
Just stepping on people. And
oh, yeah.
What exactly was John doing down by the boats outside of pushing people out of his way and yelling?
Down by the bay, down by the bay, where the watermelons grow.
It wasn't like he was organizing anything. He was...
No. I would say John was Captain Steubing, and Tormund was assistant purser gopher. They were trying to get everybody on the boat.
And where was Isaac, though?
These people didn't need drinks. They're drunk on fear. They are running. Get on these damn boats. This wonderful wildling woman, she puts...
Julie McCoy.
Yeah, she's...
Julie McCoy.
Julie McCoy, she puts an old woman on the boat. This is crazy. One of the crows come up to John, and he's like, listen... If I take this boat out, I won't be able to come back and get you. John's like, yes, you will, because I'm scared shitless. Let's do this.
Again, every time we see Jon Snow, all he's doing is yelling and pushing people past him.
He's doing Roy Scheider. Get out of the water or get in the water.
Right. Either way, I would get in the water. We know
get in the water.
I said that the White Walkers apparently have three problems. They don't like dragonglass. They don't apparently like Valyrian steel. And they sure as hell don't like water. They don't like getting wet. And so this action was so much fun. The one negative I'll say about it is because the White Walkers Army of the Dead is pretty much just wildlings reborn. It was occasionally hard to tell which side was fighting which side.
That was a bit confusing, especially when the fireball started entering my veins.
Right.
It felt like watching a Transformers movie, but
when Jon Snow called out Night Watch on me,
That
gave me goosebumps. That was a pretty cool moment.
Yeah, that was fun. He's like, Night's Watch, who bothered to come? Let's do this. And all of them, I thought, fought well. Tormund's
the man. He's like one of my new favorites. Wyndham Hotels and all.
I'm going to stay at a Days Inn, founded in a city I used to live in, Savannah. So great. Jon Snow fought well. This was just pure pandemonium. It's so much pandemonium that, once again, because... there aren't uniforms. There aren't the red coats versus the blue coats.
Well, the British are coming.
It's a bit tough to tell, but some of these of the Dead shots of all these zombies hitting this wooden wall. This, you know, they spent money on this. This is spectacle. This is why HBO wants you to pay this stupid monthly subscription, because they are spending money on this show. Holy smokes. I believe that Kit Harington said they spent close to 3 months shooting this 20-minute scene.
What? So, 3 months?
Yeah, and for more behind-the-scenes stuff, this little wildling village they built, this is actually not in Iceland where they filmed before. This is actually in Northern Ireland. It's in the same quarry where the Castle Black wall set is built. They just built this fishing village, and in fact, if you could see kind of a helicopter view without the effects, you would see where the King's Landing wall.
This is epic.
Yeah, this is just epic. They spent money on this. This wonderful wildling actress.
I love her. I'm so pissed she's now a white.
Yeah, it doesn't mean she's gone from the show, but she's got blue eyes. So let's get to a moment. Did you guys appreciate or quite understand when Tormund and Jon look up and on a cliff right above the village, they see these horses?
Yeah.
You know what that means. That means it's not just zombies. It is also the White Walker.
Now, these are the same last year when we had almost like the hierarchy.
Yeah.
When they turned the baby. That seems to be
No, that's a great point. We saw that one White Walker take Craster's baby and go as far north as seemingly you could go on his zombie horse. And then there were the 13 outlines, and the one crowned White Walker came forward and switched his Craster's
baby. Joffrey White Walker.
Yeah, I am going to call it out now. I had somebody on Twitter tweet me immediately after this.
Tweets!
He immediately after this show contacted me, and he asked me, he said, is this White Walker with the crown? Is this Joffrey as a zombie? as a White Walker, and this is a great point, he didn't appear until last season after Joffrey had died. Or, this person asked me, is, and it's Ricky Young, it's at Ricky S. Young on Twitter, he said, that White Walker at the end was a reincarnated Joffrey, right? He's the only person, you know, Joffrey was the only person powerful enough to resurrect the dead. And all I will say is, spoiler alert, Ricky Young. So,
well, in the that chapter in Dance with Dragons, right, where Joffrey is the White Walker and has, you know, his small council meeting on top of Old Smokey.
Well, this, let me say, Joffrey, he smited usurpers. Maybe now he's smiting the Night Watch. Joffrey loves smiting people. So this Thenn, this one Thenn who had said, listen, my ancestors will spit on me if I agree with the crows. In the end, I thought it was kind of fun that this Thenn and Jon Snow have to do teamwork. They run.
He's like, I'm going after him. While you find the dragon
glass. They run into this burning now remains of the Norse kind of.
Kind of looks like your living room, Glenn.
Glenn, don't smoke and fall asleep by yourself. And so out comes.
Oh my God, this dude is freaking. It's DJ Timmy Hines reincarnated.
Out comes a blue-eyed. I thought the White Walkers actually wore white as well, but now they're wearing black like the Night's Watch, which might be maybe a sign of who these guys once were. But the Thenn says, listen, find the dragon glass. I'm going to take him out with my axe. And his axe does not work. In fact, the White Walker's weapon shatters his friggin' steel or iron axe. The White Walker stabs him. He's dead. John is trying to find this dragon glass. Now, this is interesting. The dragon glass, we know the dragon glass will kill a White Walker if you stab him with it. But apparently the White Walker's sword can destroy dragon glass. This is, you know, there are too many special powers here. Another slight negative, I didn't see how this White Walker is a special spectral being. How in the world could John even fight it? John runs away like he ran away from
John. It was almost like the White Walker was like toying with him.
Yeah.
Like, I'm just, you know what, that dude, I killed that dude pretty easy. Now I'm just going to freaking knock you around, you son of a bitch.
Right, so they're up in a, oh man, this White Walker.
Is that Benjen Stark?
Benjen got a lot taller if it is Benjen Stark.
Yeah, I know.
So this White Walker goes up to where John's hiding, like unlike Joffrey, Jon Snow has to hide. So the White Walker, with his weapon, smashes the dragonglass dagger. The White Walker throws John out, and the White Walker, he's coming out. He, honest to God, acne medicine, Oxy-10 White Walker. And so he comes out.
Do they still make that, Oxy-pads?
I don't want to say how I know that, but folks, look at my Twitter profile picture. You see that.
You're a beautiful man. What are you talking about?
That is the liquor talking, folks. So John has a battle with a White Walker, and then he kills him, and the White Walker shatters into ice. That was awesome. Was
dude, amazing. So not only dragon glass can kill White Walkers, Valyrian steel.
Valyrian steel. I want to point out in this.
Please point.
I apologize, listeners. You don't want to hear book stuff. But occasionally in the books, Valyrian steel is called dragon steel.
Oh.
Which is kind
I'm
of
sexually aroused, Commander.
So John smashes this thing into ice. He's like a blender that can crush ice. I love it. And so, but who's watching from that cliff up above?
The Joffrey.
But the Joffrey of White Walkers, this crowned White Walker.
New podcast coming soon.
He saw one of his brothers killed, and hey, you kill my brother, I'm coming after
so
you.
So John has killed a white, and now a white walker.
Yeah, I mean, he doesn't discriminate.
It's like the Triple Crown. What's the next?
So were any of you guys, and I should point out that this scene follows the wonderful wildling woman killing people. It has Tormund killing people. Were you guys afraid that Tormund was going to die? Or did you think, Tormund's cool, he's got to live?
I'll be honest, I was edge of the seat. I thought anybody, including Jon Snow, was fair game. Up until the giant who, you know, at the end when the giant walks past him.
Ooh, no, I was afraid that giant might get screwed too. That's a great point. What did you think, Keith?
You know, this show has jaded me so much. I thought everyone was going to die.
Ooh.
Like, but at the same time, I'm with Glenn. I was lost in the moment. I wasn't thinking, oh, someone's going to die. I'm just like a tennis match.
No, yeah.
And, you know, especially being in your living room, I felt like, you know, a high school kid with my prom date next to Glenn. I don't know why. I'm not just, sure how to react. Yeah, I don't. I, you know what?
I'm thinking over again.
Yeah, I'm thinking of who's the boss. Never mind. But no, but seriously.
Making your way in hard home in Kent off will take a lot. All right, so sorry.
That's Cheers, isn't it?
I fucked this up. Focus.
Who's the boss's? Some way you look. Right. Oh, no, that's not. No, anyway, that's Full House.
So this wonderful Wild League woman, this actress, Brigitte Sorensen, from the popular international series.
The Dornish Borgen, series.
That the Dornish, what is it the called? Danish series. It's called Borgen. It was shown Borgen? Out here on PBS. Oh. So she's doing a great job killing some people until she sees these zombie kids. And as a mother, she sees them and she freaks out. Or she thinks, this kid, where I can see his rib cage, he needs some lunch. And she gets killed. This was sad.
Like she wouldn't fight them.
No, she wouldn't. We come back to John. He's coughing.
I think that's important.
You think that John's coughing up blood is important. What do you mean, Glenn? What do you think?
Whoa, breaking news.
He got hit with the hilt.
Oh, right. That's a good point, yeah.
And he got hit up in the right shoulder. And that kind of wound, upper right shoulder, isn't going to make you cough up that kind of blood. You're not even looking at a punctured lung.
He also did get his head smashed on some major thing last season. He was fine. But you wonder. I thought it was, to start the shot, a good effect, him spitting up blood. But now that you bring it up,
I think there's something more going on.
I think that...
That's actually not a bad point.
Glenn, what you may be talking about
sober than me.
What you may be talking about, Glenn, is foreshadowing...
Oh!
Drink! All right, let's do it. Okay. So...
It might be five shadowing at this point.
So...
Frames per second? No. I'm going to take a second.
Sure.
I am having a great time, Bubba. You're fantastic. Glenn, well, I've known you for a while. You're fantastic. I know we're no Catfish, but I wish he was here. I would have loved to heard some double P's from Catfish. And
double
stuff.
P?
Person of Pinterest. Sorry, I don't know. I didn't realize I dropped, you know. Sure. What is a good double P?
I think Person of Pinterest.
Something puns?
Peter Popper? No. Right. Pick Pepper? Pop. Anyway, I just want to, you know, as we go down the home stretch of this podcast, thank you for having us.
Oh, no problem.
And this has freaking been a lot of fun. And don't forget to download Podcast Winter, Little Fell.
All right,
Podcast Winter.
Let me say, Catfish wanted to be here, but he wants to be an actor more. So apparently...
See, Catfish is a professional actor who works. Is. I'm a professional actor who works every other month. So he's got me beat. But that's okay. That's why I'm here.
Snow Cat coughs up the blood. The Night's Watch brother, Ed, he comes up to John. John's like, listen, I got to go get the dragon glass. Ed is like,
fuck the glass.
Yeah, fuck the glass. We're going to die. Let's hit a friggin' boat. And there's the screech, theoretically the language of the White Walkers. And this one from the King's White Walker sends all these dead zombies.
Holy shit, World War Z times 10.
Oh, my Lord. He sends them over the cliff. Oh, snap. And John and Ed, why aren't they running?
Double S-ing right now.
Double S?
Shit in my shorts.
All right. All right, folks, please.
Glenn's got to drive back with me.
So after these zombies jump over the edge, they get back up and run, and I thought to myself, oh, crap, this is hell. So our three heroes, the three people we're following, Tormund's watching as the wall is coming down just from the force of these White
Walkers. It's a weak wall.
Weak wall.
Oh, and so Tormund,
he's calling to another one, the giant, and he's like, let's get out of here. And so this has been, thank God John got there so some could escape, but this is an absolute slaughter. And Glenn, here's your stuff. Wan the giant is like, I'm gonna go get on a boat, but while I'm getting on the boat, I'm gonna fuck these zombies up.
Dude, I love that giant.
I did too. Yeah, this was great.
He's a good giant. He's not a Jolly Green giant, but he's a good giant.
He might be. He's eating some vegetables now, to be able to smash this one.
Can I ask you a question, Bubba? Sure. Okay, I just wanted to know if I could ask you. No, I really do want to ask you a question. Now, by whites eating you, biting you, does that turn you?
Not unlike,
I don't think so, right?
I don't believe so either.
Because I was kept looking at the giant, like, it felt like they were biting his neck and he's throwing him off. I'm like, oh, is he going to become a white all of a sudden?
Right. No.
Well, you have to die.
Would you want,
yeah,
white would one. You want a giant as a white? That would be scary.
That's what I was worried about, because if he becomes a white, then it's like, they're screwed.
Okay, so John and our his two buddies, Ed and Tormund, get in the boat, and it's the last boat out, and 1-1 the giant. He's got these friggin' gnats of whites getting on him and biting him. He doesn't care. He's getting out of there. And please, God, row
your boat.
This giant
quickly
is,
down the
right,
stream.
Not quickly at all. These guys are slow. The giant is walking faster than the guys rowing the boat. I mean, like, guys.
He's like, oh, fuck yourself, John Snick.
So there's some shots here. This is a minor complaint. I think that the guys...
Minor complaint.
Why isn't the boat further away? Like, this boat...
It's not even moving.
No, this boat is not close enough. So the next thing we see is we see this White Walker, the one we would call the...
It's a shot of Pompeii.
We see a bunch... Yeah, that's a great point. We see a lot of just devastation as White Walkers, as zombies start killing everybody. And the next thing of a note is that some of the White Walkers come forward, especially... What I'm just going to call the Night's King, because he has this his Darth Maul White Walker.
Darth Maul White Walker
comes forward, and he's, you know what?
He's like, Jon Snow, I'm going to eat you for dinner.
Folks, he when you look at him, you think moisturize, people, because he is dried out. And so Jon is...
And he thinks Soul Glow, too.
Yeah, right. He's surveying the scene here, and Jon is watching him. And suddenly he gives this symbol... And to be honest, my buddy Jack said...
Jack?
My buddy Jack called...
Jack Tripper?
No. My buddy Jack, right after the episode, he called me up and he was like, are you not impressed? He thought the White Walker was giving the gladiator, are you not impressed? symbol. And so the White Walker is raising his hands up. I didn't even know what he was actually doing. But the next thing you know, all these people that these zombies have killed... Suddenly start, their eyes open, their eyes are blue.
And our Danish girl from Border Town.
Borgen, right.
Borgen.
Right.
I think that's the Aretha Franklin, when she gets all the background singers to sing.
Right. Well, I think of the Shawshank, Tim Robbins.
Oh, my Lord. And it is heartbreaking, isn't it? Even though she's only been in one scene. For
I her. Love you. I love you, Penny. Oh, shit, wrong show.
and so this White Walker... And he and John are staring each other down, and this is just...
That's a great shot.
It really is a great shot. It, once again, my buddy Mork has been texting me.
Mork!
And Mork...
Does he have the strain right now, or is he...
Mork is texting, and he thought that many of the stories in the first half of the story, of this episode, did not have stakes. But then he says, looking at this with the Jason and Argonauts, where there's skeleton White Walkers, whites, and everything, Mork says that he loves the ending. But now, once again, when you see what the stakes are, everything else in the show, the stakes are too low. When you see what they could do, does it once again make the rest of the show pointless? Do you guys agree with Mork, or what do you think?
I think the Starks have nailed it. Winter's coming, and with winter comes that these
yeah no
this
heck
wave
yeah,
of I think there may be a solution to this, though, that maybe they haven't thought of.
What's that?
Oh,
it's
what's
been
that?
What, like two seasons since we've seen the White Walkers?
No, we saw them last season.
Okay. Well, we saw the White Walker take the last Craster baby and convert it, and then theoretically we saw these skeletons, which weren't White Walkers but were the zombies, attack Bran in episode 10. So we kind of sort of seen them, but this is once again setting the stakes of, like, everything else, it doesn't matter. This is it.
Couldn't they just put a baby out there?
Ah!
And then when the guy picks up the baby, everybody else has to wait for him while he walks back and puts it on the altar.
Ooh, Glenn, I think...
I missed that.
Glenn, I think you have just convinced me of what possibly could be the end of the series. I think I've just figured it out. So, they leave a baby for the White Walkers. The White Walkers take it to their realm up in the north where they convert babies. But then... Bran Stark wargs into the baby, pulls out a Valyrian steel sword, and is like, fuck all y'all!
Fuck all y'all!
Spoiler alert, maybe that's how it ends.
Spoiler alert! Oh, man.
All right, folks, this is we've reached the end of the episode. We only have two episodes left. The season.
Two episodes.
The season flies by so quickly. What do you guys think? What do you want to see? Is this has me pumped for these final two episodes.
I want to see Catfish naked.
No one else does. That's good. Okay. All right. So
last episode.
I don't think that'll be in the show. Sorry. But all right.
Fine.
So
that's what I want.
What do you guys think? Are you pumped for the final two episodes? Let's have your closing thoughts on this episode, Hard Home.
I think we got a lot more in this than I anticipated, and I think it's long overdue, personally, for this season. I'm very anxious for next week. I'm curious if, with the White Walkers, if you take out the hierarchy, is it like the droids from the prequels where...
Oh, that's a great point. If you kill the White Walkers, do the zombies and whites just... I love Star Wars, but that might, to me, feel a little anticlimactic. I think you gotta destroy all of them
somehow. I agree.
I don't know how, but I think you do.
Dragons.
Well, maybe. Hey, Heath, what do you think?
You know, I'm going to be honest, Bubba.
Finally. We're an hour and a half into the podcast. Let's hear it.
All right, I'm going to be honest. I want to see... God, you know, this is what sucks. We have this final half hour.
Yeah.
And then we're going to get more scenes of conversation at Dorne or something. And I'm going to be like, oh. So I just wish it was like two more episodes of this stuff, which isn't going to happen. I don't know what to expect. I just want to see good TV. I'm hoping we get a resolution with Cersei. I'm hoping we see Arya fill her quota, maybe continue her training.
Yeah.
But I really am eager to see the wildlings and John go back to the wall and see what happens.
Yeah.
You know, and see if more winter is coming. The long look, though, of Jon Snow and that Joffrey White Walker.
Yeah.
Like, there's a reason why they both were staring at each other.
Oh,
there's
yeah.
something
yeah.
coming.
Oh, there
may yeah. not be this season, but there's something coming, so.
Yeah, I'm very excited. Glenn, thoughts on this, final thoughts on this episode? Thoughts for the final two episodes of the season? What do you want to see?
Tyrion in How to Train Your Dragon Part 3. I think that that may happen. I think Cersei is fine right where she is.
Glenn will not let it die. He's going to beat up Cersei. I love it. Okay, and anything else?
I don't know. I can't predict where it's going to go. That's one of the things I love about the show. And this episode definitely, it fed the palate, and I'm looking forward to next week. Hopefully next week isn't,
Now, I got a question for you, Sir Bubba.
Sure, Heath, what's up?
Joffrey Podcast. This last half hour felt like an episode 9.
It did.
So are they changing the format, or is next week going to be an episode 9-ish?
Ooh. Well, let's look at episode 8 last season. Episode 8 last season was titled Mountain versus the Viper.
Oh, yeah.
And so, I'm going to throw out a debate. People, listeners, I want you to tweet at us and tell us what you think. Did you enjoy the incredible battle, even if it ended with our friend Oberyn the Red Viper with his head smushed? Or did you, which episode 8 did you enjoy more? Mountain Viper, or did you enjoy this craziness better? Because maybe they are. Heath, I think you have a great point.
Hey.
Maybe they are trying to change the formula about, hey, let's make 8 just as exciting as 9.
Yeah. I don't know. You know, it's... I think my anticipation for... I mean, the episode title was called Mountain versus the Viper.
Right, yeah.
So my anticipation was like, here we go. But then it was like shocking, and we're like, what?
Yeah.
This one, I didn't know what to expect this episode. I just had a feeling something big was going to happen, but I didn't know what. And it blew me away. I might have liked this last half hour than the wall fight last year. But that wall fight is actually becoming more epic for me as I rewatch it and think about it. I'm just glad we got... I'm glad we got this. We needed this.
Yeah, we did.
We really did.
After a couple of tough episodes, definitely need it.
We needed it.
Glenn, I'm giving you maybe the impossible choice. Which did you enjoy better? Did you enjoy the Viper in the Mountain, or did you enjoy the White Walkers and their zombies versus the Wildlings and Jon Snow's Castle Black buddies. Which was a better episode 8?
I think Mountain and the Viper was more enjoyable because it was more personal.
Ooh,
we knew the character.
Well, that's a good call. Yeah, that is a good call.
We haven't seen the White Walkers.
Yeah. We haven't seen them causing trouble. Even when season 2 ended on that, oh, the White Walkers are coming, and Sam saw that army. Season 3 began after the battle. Yeah. So we didn't see this. We needed to see this. This was intense. And so I think they're both good. For my own personal preference, I think I enjoyed this a bit better.
Yeah.
Just maybe because it was longer.
It was longer, and there was more to it, and we saw stuff we didn't see before. And like you said, the White Walkers, the hierarchy, the whites all in the same place, and just mayhem.
Oh, incredibly fun. Incredibly fun. I want to get to some tweets and some iTunes review. Let's start on Twitter. A guy I like to call Patrick Durden, who's at the_ice_man, and that's M-A-N-N, the Ice Man on Twitter. Patrick Durden, he sent out this great picture of that Joffrey-like White Walker king with his arms up. And he put the caption on it, "Come at me, Snow." I mean, that is just absolutely friggin' brilliant. I want to give a shout out to our friends, the wonderful people at the podcast of Geek Girl Soup. They put out this great thing where they said, "Evil Uncle Tyrion." What a shock. They said, "Evil Uncle Tyrion was wonderful. He's been renewed. They said, "Evil Uncle Tyrion has been reunited with wine, and we all know what comes next." That was so great. Dubbery Ducky, who's at...
Double D?
Yeah, Double D. Dubbery Ducky, who's at Romy, R-O-M-Y, 134. He tweeted out, he said, "Thank the Seven, the Giant lived." And I'm with you. The Giant was awesome. And he goes, "Oh, and John, I guess." So that was awesome by him. One of our favorite Twitter followers, Jacqueline Moo. Key, and I believe I'm pronouncing that right. It's Muki, who's at MUQUI24. She said, "I have to watch that again. That was intense." Another guy who everybody on Twitter should follow, Patman23, at Pantman23. He said he's really looking forward to our podcast because he didn't like Evil Uncle Tyrion besmirching his grace King Joffrey's good name. Oh, my goodness gracious.
Can I read a tweet from one of my tweets?
Oh, do. Keep going. Yeah, we got
okay,
so many.
Let's we see. Have Joseph Henry at Draw2112.
Yeah.
Two tweets.
Sure.
One says that was the best episode of The Walking Dead ever.
Oh, that's hilarious. My buddy Jack said that Jon Snow's got nothing on... Oh, curses. Daryl. He said... My buddy Jack said Jon Snow has nothing on Daryl because he's a big Walking Dead fan. Any other tweets you got, Heath?
One other one. I mean, he put the... Everyone's putting the picture of that White Walker with his hands up.
Oh, yeah. So great.
Joseph Henry puts, "Are you entertained?"
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah. Hey. Amen. I want to give a shout out to Rachel Perez. Rachel Perez, who's at Rachel Perez, exactly as you assume it's spelled, but it's Rachel Perez 514 on Twitter. She says, "Arya may be called Lana or whatever of the canals on the show, but she saw that cat walk in front of her path and she hashtags cat forever." That is a book kind of nod, and I noticed it too, Rachel. And so that's a great point. Great point. You got any other? Oh, wait, I've got to say that my good buddy Tasha Patel, who's at LARENSOL, that's La Ren Soul, at La Ren Soul on Twitter. She just tweeted out, she said, "Best episode all season." And
yeah,
Tasha, I agree.
I've come around and I agree as well.
Real quickly, I want to give a shout out to some great reviews we got in last week. I want to give a shout out to Rich, in parentheses, in name only. So Rich, in name only on iTunes. He gave us 5 stars. He said, "The most beautiful podcast in Westeros." He said he's been listening to this podcast for some time now. "Unfortunately, I don't think there's an antidote even in Dorne." "But seriously, since Podcast Winterfell has ingested the short farewell, the Joffrey podcast is now my favorite Game of Thrones podcast." Thank you so much, Rich. "Bubba and Catfish totally hit the sweet spot between humor and analysis. They alternatively make me chuckle and think. I also like that they don't devolve into the whining, complaining, and nitpicking that so many other Game of Thrones podcasts do. All around great stuff. Love it." Thank you so much, Rich, in name only.
Is that anybody, Rich? No.
We also have a great review from somebody called Imperfect Circle.
Imperfect Circle?
It's a 5-star review. Thank you so much. It says, new listener, this podcast is great. This podcast, folks, don't drink a podcast. So anyway, it says...
Podcasters keep.
All right, so it says, this podcast is the perfect balance of comedic and informational content with all of our favorite show, Game of Thrones. Extremely fun to listen to and a truly shining light in a Sea of Thrones podcast that is simply not as good. Boy, thank you so much. Try Podcast Leonard Littlefelt as well, folks. I think you will really enjoy it.
That's okay.
Imperfect Circle.
Actually, Podcast Littlefelt sucks.
Listen, you said it. I agree. No. So anyway, he says, Imperfect Circle, he or she says, thanks, guys. Keep it up. You've earned a new fan. Also, is there a Facebook page? Unfortunately, I do not have Twitter. Folks, we don't have a Facebook page because if you saw pictures of us, you would not want to see us. You would not want to see our faces. Oh. Our final new review this week comes from MPapa4. That's MPapa4.
MPapa4?
Which stands for Mighty Papa. and he says, it's a message from a true Double L loyal listener.
Double L?
Loyal listener. He says, yes. I started listening to y'all right before the season 4, so I've been here through all the dark times just waiting for the imminent return of the rightful ruler of Westeros and the King of Andals and the First Men and the Rhoynar, etc. The podcast's namesake, King Joffrey. As a BR book reader many times over, and as someone who took Bubba's advice and checked out Podcast Winterfell during the tandem read of Feast and Dance, I can honestly say that Bubba knows a lot more than he lets on in this podcast. I have fooled you, M. Papa Four. That's good to know.
He fooled us, too.
Right. He's like a maester among mummers or a Joffrey among a group of Tommens. Thank you so much.
Whoa, whoa.
M. Papa Four, that is the greatest.
So we're the Tommens,
that is the greatest compliment I've ever heard. So that being said, there is also a possibility that maybe at the end of each episode, you could do some sort of BR theorization section. So I have to be honest, M. Papa, I always want to be careful to avoid spoilers. People love that we don't give away spoilers, but maybe at the end of the season, I'll try to do a book reader thing. But then because I feel like we'll all be on the same page, because I think the show and the book 5 end at pretty much the same place. But that's my own little point. It says, I seems like a lot to ask, and I know that Catfish hasn't read all the books. But you could
looked at it, the covers,
right,
though.
Right, barely. He goes, you could do earmuffs for Catfish at the end and let the big boys discuss the books.
So you discuss them with yourself.
Right. So, okay, he says, thank you both so much for taking the time to put together this awesome podcast. And I would like to say I appreciate Catfish's half NBR perspective. What he remembers anyway. That's a great point. P.S. I apologize for my multiple grammatical errors, but oh well, it's not like Stannis reads these or anything.
Oh, it was like a telenovela, but you know what? It was brilliant. All right. It was a very well thought out review.
So, folks, if you give us a written review on iTunes, that's not just stars, but give us a written review on iTunes, or you tweet out with the hashtag Joffrey Podcast, I want to say you're entered into one of our wonderful contests where at the end of the season, we're going to give away at least 3 prizes. We're trying to score some more. We're going to give away a Game of Thrones Blu-ray DVD set and digital downloads. We're going to give away a Making Game of Thrones book from season 3 and 4, and we're going to give away an incredible poster of Arya and the Hound, which is a $35 retail value. And let me say, that's $35 out of my own wallet that we're going to give away. It's a really fun poster. So hashtag the Joffrey Podcast at me, Bubba, at Fit and Trim. That's FitenTrim at Fit and Trim on Twitter. Now,
I'm gonna throw in a fourth prize.
Sure. Oh, let's hear it.
A Night with Glenn Ewing.
Wait a minute, what?
Yes.
Let's hear it. How could someone win that?
Well, you can tweet...
at
Bubba,
Glenn, yeah.
At Fit and Trim,
right.
Hashtag Night with Glenn with 1N, and you can be entered into the Night with Glenn sweepstakes. What you got to do though is you got to go to Burbank yourself, go to a bar and make sure Glenn's there and buy him a drink, and that's all you have to do. That's a Night with Glenn, and he'll talk to you for.
Some restrictions may apply.
No, in all seriousness.
If your night with Glenn lasts more than 4 hours, you might want to see a doctor.
Yeah.
You're probably going to want to see a doctor.
Yes, and not Dr. Feelgood. But yes, I feel like I should have brought something. I want to contribute to the contest.
Let me say, I want to thank both you guys for being here. Maybe after this season, we should all get together with Catfish when his shooting schedule doesn't block us.
I'm sorry, working
and really
actor.
Have a, yeah, and really have a kind of a, what do we want to see in the last two seasons of the show. The show implies there are only going to be two more seasons. We should have that kind of podcast.
Let's do that. I'm all in. I'll bring three bottles of Fireball instead of one.
Quickly, guys, I want you to tell everybody how they can reach out to you on social media like Twitter. So, Glenn, how could people follow your wonderful Game of Thrones, Star Wars, all your great tweets on Twitter? Glenn, how do they see it?
I'm at Glenn, G-L-E-N, Ewing, E-W-I-N-G.
Excellent. Guys, I've been following Glenn. Glenn, I got to be honest, Glenn gave me the scoop on so many things, but one of my favorite things is a great mini Python reunion of Monty Python when John Cleese and Eric Idle were together. It was so incredible. So follow Glenn on Twitter. And Heath, you almost control the podcast world, but how can people to your podcast and follow you on Twitter?
All right. Where do you follow me? Gosh. On the Twitter. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm a little out there. On the Twitter, you can follow me at Heath Actor and my podcast Little Fell, at Podcast L. I also do a podcast called The Film List where we talk about film, TV, all kinds of stuff. You can find that on the iTunes. And I think that's about it. Yeah, that's where you can find me.
So, listeners, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to tweet at me. Tweet hashtag Joffrey Podcast, not only because I want you to be entered and possibly win one of these great prizes, but I also want to know what you're expecting. We only have two more episodes left. Tweet me, let me know. I want to say if you like the silliness that Catfish, Bubba, Mork, Heath, Glenn, that we all put out, I've got two other shows I want you to follow on iTunes. If you're a fan of the FX show The Strain, go to iTunes and download
Got Your Milk. Damn it.
The FX is The Strain podcast that's about their crazy vampire show set in present-day New York. We have got a special preseason season 2 podcast coming up, so you're going to want to check that out. Also, on June 13th, BBC America is going to introduce their adaptation of Susanna Clarke's Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell. Catfish and I have got a preseason podcast out about that. When the episodes premiere, we're going to have weekly recaps. And some of my listeners in the UK have asked me, well, wait a minute, the show is airing. Why aren't you putting out podcasts? Folks in the UK, in London, in Scotland, you guys are seeing it before we are. So once it airs in America, I promise we're going to put it out. But I have a special podcast for that coming up with two special interviews you're not going to want to miss. That podcast is called Lost Hope. Go to iTunes, search Jonathan Strange and Mr. Norrell Podcast, or just Lost Hope Podcast, and you'll find it. Download it. It's going to be really excited. Catfish wanted to be here. He's brokenhearted. Folks, he will be back next week and on some of our other podcasts coming up. So please tweet at Catfish, who's at CJGman67 on Twitter, and tell him that he's been a great Joffrey by not showing up. And
Hey. We
got two episodes left this season and hopefully a end of the season wrap up. You'll hear us next time on the Joffrey of Podcasts.
Dara Gailey's.